Blog Talk Radio.
Returns. Commissioner T here at the, as Dr. Train says, Commissioner T, I'm on the ones and the twos. You know, it's kind of weird this year because I haven't hosted every show. Dr. Train and even K-Star has stepped up and been a big help in hosting shows that I were unable to host simply because of work schedules. And so when I come back, and actually, this is the first time in weeks that I'm actually sitting in my office at my computer hosting the Mad Voice, which is kind of where I host every week. But this year, for a variety of reasons, I've either not been hosting or had to host remotely from my iPad or some sort of jerry-rig system because of work obligations. So it actually feels pretty good. You know what I'm saying? It actually feels pretty good. And for those of you who don't know who I am Commissioner T, the Omniscient One, and I am here hosting the Madden Voice tonight, and I will introduce my co-host in a minute, but if you do want to join us, remember that the telephone number, it hasn't changed in 7 years, 347-838-9525. That's 347-838-9525. I've been doing the Madden Voice for 7 years. We started as EAFL Radio for the Madden League that I was running at the time, and we transitioned into the Madden Voice to cover the Madden community. And as I distanced myself from the Madden video game, decided that I like talking football, and here I am. And you know, it was fun when I did it by myself, but nothing beats the enjoyment of having my two co-hosts the show with me, plan the agenda with me, and it's just been a lot of fun. And I hope you guys enjoy it. Even when we disagree, it's still fun. And with that said, let me bring my two co-hosts on. The first one is, you know, this guy back when I was running Madden Leagues was the first winner of the EAFL Super Bowl I, which was a big deal back then, and still a big deal to me because he will always be the first winner of the EAFL Super Bowl. He's a PhD. He likes philosophy. He likes defense. And we know him as Dr. Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's up, T? How's it going?
You know, it's going, hanging in there, surviving one day at a time. You know how we do. You know,
absolutely.
Let me bring in our other co-host. This guy annually one of the best Madden players in the world, and I lived up to my word, and I actually watched. I didn't finish yet, but I watched many episodes of Madden Nation Season 4 that he was on, and it was actually pretty enjoyable to actually watch these guys. Most of them I knew, and probably the most fun was watching the first guy to get booted from the bus was Yo Mama, a guy that I've had a rivalry with for many years. Not anymore, but back in the day. And he was the first one out. But K-Star was on that show. If you guys just Google it or go to YouTube or go to iTunes and just look for Madden Nation Season 4, check him out. Ali Quick. If you guys want any Madden lessons, you got to pay for them because, I mean, when you're the best, you get the charge for your services. That's all I'm saying. But K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's going on, fellas? I feel like
I feel a little bit like Superman tonight. I feel a little bit like Cam Newton this evening. I feel great. Hope you guys are doing wonderful.
You know, it's interesting because
we are.
We have not had, I don't know that we've had a week. I think we had one other week where all three teams won, and that was it. And now tonight, my team didn't play, so I don't have anything really to be upset about because we didn't lose. And both you guys had some very impressive wins that we will discuss. So, you know, yeah. Certainly there is a positive feel in the air, and just maybe K-Star, maybe buried his own Pittsburgh Steelers a little too soon, dare we say. Being one game out of the wild card race in the AFC. Maybe, just maybe. But we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to let K-Star talk about that. But before we do that, let me remind everybody, if you want to call in, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. Chat room is open. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter, at The Madden Voice, or on Facebook, just search for The Madden Voice. And, you know, we're right there. You got any comments, questions, or suggestions, we're here for you, the fans. This is a fan show. And let's start with Cam Newton and last night's game. And, you know, the question that I have, you know, now I'm going to let Dr. Train go first on this one. Because I already know what K-Star is going to say. But, you know, Dr. Train, you know, it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, K-Star pretty much put Cam Newton in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, we have not seen Hall of Fame-like performance or even elite quarterback performance from Cam Newton. Really, since you know, he was kind of jinxed. It was all K-Star's fault. Because as soon as he said it, you know, he kind of went downhill. But now, over the last few games, we're seeing the Panthers with some wins, and then certainly last night. And you know, we'll talk about the controversial ending. But let's just first talk about the fact that, you know, in a Monday night prime time game under the lights, Cam Newton engineered a victory over the great Tom Brady. In your opinion, if you don't think he's arrived, is this a signature win that he can hold his hat to? And can we now start to look at Cam Newton rising up the chart as being one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL?
I think he can be proud of his performance. He didn't do anything to cause his team to lose the game. He played a very good game, and I think it's something he can build upon moving forward. For me, with all quarterbacks, with any player, it's all about consistency. So until I see it consistently for a full season, then, you know, it's just a wait and see. I you know, sometimes I feel like it takes players 3 or 4 years to get it, i.e. Drew Brees. Drew Brees didn't break out until his fourth year when Phillip Rivers got drafted. All of a sudden, Drew Brees came out of nowhere. He was lights out at the quarterback position. 2 years later, he ends up with the Saints and Sean Payton, and man, you know, we all know the end of that story. So sometimes it takes time, but I think he can build upon, you know, his performance moving forward.
You know, and not to change the topic, but you know, the Drew Brees story is an incredible one because he had that very ugly injury, and San Diego cut bait with him and made a decision to go the direction of Phillip Rivers, and we know the history. One team has ascended to a Super Bowl championship, and the other hasn't. And so I just wonder if anybody over in San Diego regrets that decision. but anyway. K-Star, you had him in the Hall of Fame, and even you had to say that Cam was not coincidentally, as we speak right now on NFL Network, the question being posed right now, did Cam Newton prove he is an elite quarterback? I kid you not, I can't make this up. I think what they did is someone over there is tuning into the Madden Voice and said, oh, no, because this is live, NFL Network, live. And they said, no, they're trying to steal our thunder, but they can't do what we do. K-Star, your thoughts on Cam Newton?
Well, this was Cam Newton's first you know, time in the spotlight for, you know, the national media, for everyone out there to see him on Monday Night Football. This was Cam Newton's first
you know, for the most part, really big televised game in America against the New England Patriots, you know, against Tom Brady, against some great competition, and Cam Newton, who, I mean, you know, is a guy who I always felt as well documented, always has the tools to be one of the greats in the league, came out and he played last night like the type of quarterback I always thought he could be and is. I mean, he's a guy who, listen, on that game-winning drive, he had 3 third downs, which he converted the last for a touchdown. The guy was clutch. The guy was evading sacks, broken plays. I mean, he's a, like I said last week, the guy's a playmaking quarterback. I mean, this season he's had a couple of sloppy games, but he always makes a few plays a game that kind of just wows you. He's just that kind of player where, you know, if the play breaks down, I mean, it's always a lie because Cam Newton's just such a phenomenal athlete. And it kind of reminded me of just his Auburn moment. Like, you know, when he was the national championship quarterback for Auburn and he always played, you know, the biggest, or he always played his best as each game got a little bigger. Last night, you could just kind of see the confidence. He's never been lacking confidence, but it felt genuine. It felt like a guy who was comfortable moving the ball, and the moment wasn't too big for him. So it's great to finally see Cam kind of fill in to, you know, the player in which I think he is, and ultimately, you know, proved last night that what he can be. To outperform Tom Brady, to put together a clutch game-winning drive to win the game, I think says a lot about, you know, who he is right now, but moreover, who he's going to be in the future as he matures and progresses as a quarterback.
I would stretch the outperform Tom Brady part, but I think he played a good game. Frankly, I think the question is ridiculous. You know, there are four quarterbacks in this NFL that are elite, and none of them are named Cam Newton. I think Cam had a good game. I think he played a solid game. He is a phenomenal athlete. He's big. He's fast. He's got a great arm. He's a good athlete. He's a good quarterback, and we are starting to see him blossom into showing some level of consistency. But let's as Bill Parcells said, let's hold the anointing oils here. He's got a very good defense, and that defense helps him out. And on the note of that defense, I'm sorry, but Tom Brady almost did it again. And if that holding call, if that either holding or pass interference is upheld at the end of the game, we're probably not having this discussion. We're having the discussion on, well, he had a good game, but it's, you know, what do you expect against Tom Brady? Tom Brady does what Tom Brady does. He comes down with a minute to go, and he puts you in the end zone. And now that didn't happen, but in my opinion, I think Cam Newton played a good game. I need to see more. I need to see more before I even the conversation of being elite is ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. He had a good game, and they had a great win, and they are certainly a threat in the NFC. There's no doubt about it. But that's it. There is really nothing more than that. This isn't a rivalry game. Let's see how he plays against the Saints. Let's see how he goes up against, you know, one of the four horsemen, as Train nicknamed him. You know, I believe they still have to play twice. Am I correct on that? Don't they still have to play two times?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You know, so let's see how those two games play out first before we go anointing this guy to back. You know, let's see where Carolina ends up in this playoff race, because they didn't start off the year very well. So let's see where they end up. You know, you still got I know they got a 6-game winning streak. We still got Seattle. We still got the Saints. Don't sleep on those 49ers. They may be struggling a bit, but they got good coaching. They were just in the Super Bowl. Don't sleep on those 49ers. I mean, there are teams that aren't just going to sit back and not do anything here. And I think what happens is, you know, we're quick, not maybe us, the Madden voice, but pundits and analysts are quick to rush to judgment. And great win, good game, but he's not an elite quarterback just yet.
Good. When I listen to them talk, you know, analysts talk, they're very quick to anoint a team, you know, without letting things play themselves out. Like, you know, the first thing said even last night, I don't want to play Carolina at home. I'm thinking to myself, I don't think they're all that scary at home. not like some other stadiums are. They're definitely a tough team, but if anything, the greatest thing about the Panthers right now is their defense.
Right.
Without their defense, they don't win games.
No, I agree with you. I know as much as I love the guy, I think he will ultimately become an elite quarterback, and at some point, probably the best quarterback in the league. He's still a few years off from that. The consistency needs to be there to answer the initial question. But at the same time, like, I feel like you guys are kind of undervaluing his performance last night. Kind of just saying solid, he's decent. He was great last night.
Well,
like,
undervaluing.
I saw this one game last night. You acting like it was just some kind of decent, like, game. Like, he played great. Like,
well, that's what I said that, but I also followed that with it takes time. It took Drew Brees literally 4 years before this dude put himself on the map in San Diego. Then he played 2 years there, injures himself, comes back, ends up with New Orleans, and you see with the rest of his career. It takes time. Cam Newton hasn't been consistent. We saw him come out and do his rookie year, and they won a few games, and it wasn't enough. I think the great thing for Cam Newton is that he's with a team that has a very solid, very good defense, and what he does need is more consistency on offense, whether it be his play, more weapons, more years in the system. That will help catapult him, but I don't know if he'll ever get to the point where at the level with the Four Horsemen, because their defenses play like crap, and they're still able to just pull out games purely on offense.
And I think that's a key difference to me between the elite quarterbacks and everybody else, is if their defense don't show up, then the game isn't lost. I mean, look at the Packers now in big trouble without Aaron Rodgers. You know, because it's just that next level that Cam Newton is just not at. I don't think he played great. I think he played good. I think it was a good game. I think he Steve Smith had a heck of a game. I think, you know, and I think Cam was very mobile. He had some nice rushes, and you know, he played a good, efficient game where he didn't make any mistakes. He did make some plays when they needed them, a couple of third downs, and, you know, I'm not taking anything away from him, but as Train said, we saw this as rookie year. We saw some good games, you know, and what happened. So I'm not quick to just start anointing the guy. The problem is they beat the Patriots, and so not everybody wants to say he's better than Tom Brady. Geno Smith beat the Patriots, and what do we say about Geno Smith right now?
But
that's what it is. It is because they beat the Patriots on national TV that everybody is now asking the question about, is Cam Newton finally elite? That's why.
Hold on. I mean, the thing is, the first couple of years that Cam Newton played, like, yeah, he didn't get a lot of wins, but his defense certainly wasn't very good. Now it is. Now he has more help. Now I don't think it's a coincidence his team is 7-3. I mean, when you look at his numbers from the first two seasons, he was very, very good. It wasn't like a Geno Smith situation. If anything, I think that now that he does have help from that
first year, he was very good. Last year he underperformed. He had the sophomore
last year. Last year he started out the season kind of slow. I'll grant you that, but he definitely had a very great second half. But, I mean, my point kind of is that, you know, I've always felt Cam was a great player. Now that he has a defense, and it's a very good defense, although last night wasn't their best performance by any means, you know, that Cam kind of had to go, you know, point for point with Brady there, and he proved he could do that, which, I mean, he's always put a lot of points on the board Cam has, but I just think he's the kind of player that now that he actually has a defense, now that he actually has some help around him, you're kind of seeing him get those wins. And I think he's going to be around for a while because that's a very young team.
But that doesn't make him elite. We've seen Eli Manning win Super Bowls.
Let me finish.
We've seen Eli Manning win 2 Super Bowls with great defenses, and I don't know that any time we ever put Eli Manning in the elite category. So, and he's got 2 Super Bowls. That doesn't make you elite. What makes you elite is, can you get it done whether or not your defense shows up? I think Train hit it right on the head. And that is to be that. Well, it hasn't been the case. Now he's got a defense. He's playing better, but he's also got a solid defense to back him up. Let's see what happens when he plays the Saints. Let's see what happens when they play the Bucs in a couple weeks. Those Bucs
all I'm trying to say that defense didn't play great last night. He still overcame that.
I think the defense played okay. I think frankly, your boy, the best middle linebacker in the game, as you called him, got away with murder last night because that was a penalty. I mean, I do not get the controversy. I've been watching football 30 plus years. Okay? Damn near, maybe, anyway, I won't give my age away, but I've been watching football a long time. All these technical explanations and ones. Listen, the ball was thrown in his direction and the guy mugged him. Okay, he mugged him. And you threw the flag because you saw what we all saw. That's pass interference. Worst case is it's defensive holding and because it's out past 5 yards and it's first down from they were at the 18, you move it to the 13. So either one of the calls, but to say the ball was catchable, so there's no penalty? What, are you kidding me? Uncatchable is not because it was thrown short and maybe he had to come back and get the ball. Uncatchable is 5 yards over his head. That was not the case. I don't get the controversy here. That was pass interference or defensive holding, period.
Have they said what uncatchable means?
One more play.
And have they said, the NFL, have they come out and said what uncatchable means to them? Because I feel it's a very subjective term.
They have not said it, but I researched uncatchable, and what I read, it did not say anything about the ball being thrown short. It said out of reach, overhead, or if a defensive player touches it.
I don't think the ball itself was catchable, but there should have been a penalty regardless. It's like one of those things where Gronk's probably not going to play, let's be honest. However,
but you don't know.
He was impeded. Exactly. The fact that he was impeded so dramatically.
Right.
That flag should have been thrown. I agree with that. Like, don't get me wrong, I wanted the Panthers to win, obviously, because I've been on them for a while. But, like, there should have been a penalty thrown. I don't think, again, that Gronk makes a play that you don't know 100% for sure because, of the defensive hold that definitely took place.
Watch the play. The linebacker is not looking back. He's not playing the ball. He's playing the man.
Nope. He's actually bear hugging. I don't know what the hell Kuechly was doing there, honestly.
And that was
That
was before the interception. The ball was in the air. And you can clearly see him bear hugging him, playing him and not the ball. To me, Trey, you're a defensive guy. Is there something wrong with me?
Man, that was clearly pass interference. I mean, it was textbook pass interference. This is the reason why the dude threw the flag. Because he could see it right in front of him. The dude was not facing the ball whatsoever, and he wasn't necessarily face guarding. He actually put his arms around it just as the ball was getting there, and dude was making the interception. That's pass interference.
Well, the ball wasn't getting there to Gronkowski. It was nowhere close to him. It was definitely
Look here, bro. You done seen pass interference several times.
That was not PI. No, I agree. That was not PI. That was defensive holding.
He couldn't even – if he wanted to make a play on the ball, he couldn't.
Right, and that's the question.
There was no way he could make a play on the ball.
7-foot wingspan. We can sit here and say there's no way he makes that play. But you know what? That's why he's Gronkowski.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. So I don't think that's PI. That wasn't PI. That was more defensive holding than anything. I agree that it should have been a flag, but not PI.
I think it was pass interference. I don't think it's defensive holding.
Frankly, because he wasn't playing the ball, he was playing the guy, I would go with pass interference too. Is there any quarterback you want in the league more than Tom Brady with first and goal on the 1 yard line and one play? This is the last play of the game. Heck, let's go with defensive holding. Okay? And it's first and goal. And it's
ball
first
at the 10, 13.
And it's at the 13, and you got one play. And he's got Gronkowski. He's got Edelman. He's got, is there anybody you would prefer in that situation? So, I mean, this conversation about Cam Newton almost became moot. If either call is made, I'm putting my money that Tom Brady's scoring a touchdown. I am.
It didn't happen, though. Oh, we can't just...
It didn't happen. I know it didn't happen. I'm talking about what should have happened. I didn't say it happened. But let me also make one last point on this one. Then we'll move on. What really annoys me is, bottom line, if that's Tony Romo and we're having this discussion, K-Star's sitting over there saying, and there he goes again. Knew it was going to happen. Throws a pick at the end of the game. Stephen A. Smith is saying there is an accident waiting to happen. Every announcer is saying, you know, yeah, we're not going to give Tony the penalty and bail him out. He shouldn't have threw that ball. It was, you know, clearly Gronkowski covered, and, you know, that was just a bad throw, and there he is again. Oh, no, Romo. Everybody is coming down if it's Tony Romo who does that. But it's Tom Brady who does it, and don't get me wrong, I think it's pass interference. But regardless, not one person says, where was he going? Gronkowski's covered, and there's a cornerback. He's covered by a linebacker, and there's a cornerback or safety right there. Where the hell is he? No one's at. Not one person. I stayed up last night, and I couldn't sleep last night, so I stayed up and watched every coverage of this. I watched it as much as I could during the day. And not one person said, wait a minute, where was Brady throwing the ball? Because if you're going to sit there and say it wasn't catchable, if you're going to sit there and say there was no way that Gronk makes this catch, if that's what you're going to say, then why isn't anyone saying, well, where was he throwing the ball then? Because it was picked off. And no one's asked that question. But let it be Tony Romo, and oh, my God, here we go again. Oh, no, Romo. And he, you know, that's all I'm saying is it's just there is a – there is, it's just – it's not fair what we Cowboy fans have to go through, because all quarterbacks at different times will make these plays. You know Eli's going to give you a couple, right? You know Vic gives you a couple, right? You know, I'm sorry, even Big Ben will throw one your way every now and again. You know there's quarterbacks out there that you know, you hang around, they're going to give you a chance. And yet the guy who gets beat up the most is Tony Romo. Aggravates the hell out of me. Let's go to the phone.
Only you would think Tony Romo bullying story.
That's true. 615-3. Welcome.
I don't know how
it
came to that.
Gee, that is ridiculous, man. Tony Romo. He says it all the time, man. That's ridiculous.
That's a lie. You watch too much Stephen A. Smith. Stop watching.
You compare Tony Romo to Tom Brady?
Did I say
Come
that?
Come on. Tom Brady is no.
Wait. Slow down. See? You don't get to come on to my show and twist my words around. You don't get to do that. I did not compare Tony Romo to Tom Brady. What I said was, if Tony Romo threw that pass, everybody, including you, Saint, comes on this show and says, there he goes again. And all my point was, hey, tell me I'm wrong. K-Star, Saint, Train, did anybody on any show that you watch question why Tom Brady threw that pass?
No, because it's Tom Brady.
No, they didn't.
Tom Brady has marched people, his team, down the field and won way more. That's what he's known to do, is win.
Oh, so it's okay.
Tony Romo is known for losing at those moments. He's
oh, it's
known
okay.
for losing at those moments.
Oh, so who has the most fourth quarter comeback 2010 in the NFL? I'm sorry, since
in big games?
Fourth quarter comebacks since 2011 in the NFL. Two quarterbacks, and neither one is named Tom Brady. Andrew Luck
in big
and
games,
Tony. That's all I'm saying.
Not in big games, though. In big games, Tony Romo blows.
Games, they only play 16. What game is not a big game? They only play 16.
Andrew Luck was a playoff quarterback last year. That's all I know.
Games.
I don't know why you're comparing him to Tony Romo.
Because I'm giving you, you see, this is, you guys are making my point. You guys are making my point.
I'm not bashing Romo. I don't even know how he's in this discussion right now. The only reason why I didn't last night is because of a controversial ending. That's all anyone's going to talk about.
You have still didn't answer my question. It was a real easy question.
Yeah, I can tell you the answer. The reason why they would be bashing Tony Romo if he did it, because he done did it a bunch of times in big games.
So we give Brady a pass. We don't question after why he made that
have,
pass.
Yeah, you're going to have – you. Brady's going to get all the passes he wants because he's been to, what, five
Brady
Super Bowls?
Off the field yelling at the official, but it's okay because it's Tom Brady.
Exactly, man.
I mean, the man turned it right. The man, I mean
– he's going down as one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game.
I'm not disputing that. I'm not disputing
well,
that.
I mean,
what I'm saying
when
is
you get that kind of –
for different quarterbacks. Okay, I see how we do this. Different rules for different quarterbacks. Okay. They don't all play the same.
Different. No. When you have a guy who hasn't won anything, you have a guy who's won all the time, it's a lot easier to question a guy who hasn't won anything that's still making mistakes rather than the guy who has won a lot and made
not
a mistake.
Mistake.
I mean, it's a big different pedigree. Different pedigree.
Wait. So no one questions the mistake? I mean, nobody.
Yeah, I would have thrown to Gronk. He should have thrown the ball high. It was a bad misplaced throw.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that Tony Romo is as good as Tom Brady. I'm not saying that there aren't criticisms that Tony Romo had that he didn't deserve. You're missing my point. What I'm saying is, if that was Tony Romo yesterday, the cover story today is, oh, no, Romo. Tom Brady does
exactly.
There was a penalty. Not one person questions the pass. That's ridiculous. Because guess what?
I don't think people question the read. I think people question it was a bad throw. Brady came out and said
it was
himself.
That's the point. Well, I think you can question. I think if you look at the coverage, you can question the read too. But it was a horrible throw.
Yeah, he should have thrown the ball. He should have thrown the ball high. I don't know what he's doing throwing a low. But
and that's what I'm saying is I watched Fox. I watched ESPN. I watched NFL Network. I didn't hear one person say, by the way, not for nothing. I mean, I think it was pass interference, but where was Tom Brady looking?
Okay, but you're saying the reason why that is just not fair. But that's not the reason. Not just because it's not fair. It's because Tony Romo has blown some big games in the recent history. Down this stretch, he throws the pick.
They're showing the play. I'm watching the play now. I'm showing it. There, as we speak, I'm looking at the play, and I'm saying, where's he throwing the ball?
Okay, I saw the same thing, T. Barring that there's no pass interference, he shouldn't even throw that ball to Gronkowski at all.
Thank you.
Gronkowski was double covered. Even if he threw it high, he would not have been able to make a play on the ball.
Yeah, but who else did he throw the ball?
Gentlemen, here's my point. Do not become victims of the media hype. Make your own – watch games with your own eyes and make your own decision. That was a bad
throw. But no one said it was a good throw.
All I'm saying is the media
– no one's questioning it.
But no one's questioning that it was not – again, I mean, you guys, it's a simple point. Not one person on all these shows – said, why did Brady throw that ball? Really? It was a badly thrown ball. Period.
Are you saying that?
Yes, I'm saying that. I'm absolutely saying that when the play happened, the first thing I said was, oh, my God, he threw a pick at the end of the game. I guess Tom Brady's human too, huh? And then when they showed the replay, I said, oh, damn, Gronkowski got mugged. So then my second thought was, Gronkowski got mugged. Where's the That's the penalty. Tom Brady's getting it first and goal at the one, and this game's over. That's what I thought. Then they pulled the flag and said no penalty. I said, oh, my goodness. Then they showed it again, and I said, by the way, that was a really badly thrown ball.
I thought the same thing. It looked like a very poorly thrown ball the first time I saw it. But let me say this real quick before I chime in. It's because I kind of disagree with y'all on the penalty. I kind of more or less agree with K-Stars as far as I saw the play over and over because that's all they've been showing on ESPN the last few hours. And Gronkowski, he doesn't even look like he was making a play for the ball. Matter of fact, his motion was looking like it was headed backwards. And so
he kind of was running backwards.
It didn't even look like he was making a play, an attempt for the ball. And I think I can kind of see why the other ref said, no, it was just a bad thrown ball. It wasn't a pass interference. You see the play, the motion of his body is going back. He's not even going
Well, forward. I don't know how much motion you can have going forward when a dude is riding you to go backwards.
Guys,
well,
hugging.
Come on now, Brian Carter. He ain't Wes Welker to nobody. He's a big boy. I mean,
I understand he's a big dude, but so is Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, he's the best linebacker in the game if you ask K-Star.
Yeah, but he's not making an attempt to move forward. You know what I'm saying? It's the flow of his body is going, but he's not even making an attempt.
Well, I don't know.
I believe
that
he throws the flag. If
it
was
catchable
after the ball.
The day.
Yeah,
it
I mean,
catchable. It don't get a chance to catch it, but
we could debate. We can debate whether it's defensive holding or pass interference. I would have said pass interference. But regardless, I think the general consensus is there should have been a penalty and the Patriots should have had one more play. And for whatever reason, they picked up the flag and said no foul, and then that was the end of the game. And I will say that Tom Brady, you know, my final comments on Tom Brady is this is not new that he gets passes on things like sideline behavior, walking off the field, yelling at the referee like we saw him do, and other players do that, and if the spotlight is they're disrespecting the ref, they're disrespecting the game, and Tom Brady continually gets passes on these things, and I don't think he deserves a pass. I don't think he deserves
that. Why do you think that is, though?
Playing the same game that everybody else is playing.
But why do you think he's getting those passes?
Because he's the face of the league.
Because
that's
he's a three-time champion. It's really that simple. It's harder to demeanor and leadership when you prove, to, when you prove
going,
yourself you know, to
so
be a great leader.
Jordan, we're doing the Jordan rules then, right?
No, we're looking at a champion. You know, the people who get bashed in the media, like Jay Cutler, as a guy who wasn't one thing either. I mean, Peyton Manning does the same thing. Peyton Manning has all the faces he makes and all that kind of stuff. No one really questions him either because he's also a champion.
But here's my question, and I kind of ask almost the same thing as T. Do you really think that's fair?
Thank you, Trey. I do.
All y'all got a job, right? When you got seniority and you've been doing your job right, you're doing it the best on your own, as better than anybody else, you're going to have some privileges that other people don't have on your job. I think it's fair. I think he's played the game right, and he only has his rants in a competitive with his competitors.
I don't think that's a direct comparison because when we talk about football, we're speaking of talent, and every quarterback doesn't have the same talent. But you got 32 quarterbacks starting on 32 teams. You know, one of each team. So, I mean, I don't think that's a direct comparison when you say just regular job.
He plays game right. He does it right, and he's doing it the best. And I'm telling you, when he gets when he goes on a rant, it's competitive. It's not – you don't ever hear him.
Did you hear what he said?
You're basically telling me if you have two kids and you have one that's excelling in school, doing everything he or she needs to do, then you got the other one who's not doing so well, but they are trying their best. You mean to tell me that you make a difference between them?
No, that's two totally different things.
But that's what you're saying.
No, that's not exactly.
That is exactly what you're saying.
No, I got a degree in this philosophy stuff. That's exactly what you're saying. Brady's leadership has proven himself to be effective three times in route to a Super Bowl championship, so why would you question his demeanor and leadership when it's been proven to be successful historically?
It's great that
Tom Brady has all the accolades, but my thing is when it comes down to breaking down these quarterbacks, breaking down film play, the game has not changed. A bad pass is a bad pass. An interception is an interception. A bad read is a bad read. I don't
berating,
care who you are.
And berating an official is berating an official. Because if Jay Cutler does that, Train, if Jay Cutler does
that. Oh, man, trust me. Y'all know.
Your history is going to follow you. If you come off as being a jerk in the past, then you're being a jerk to the referees. That's going to follow you. It's going to have an effect on you.
I understand what you're saying, and I think it's wrong that you held people to different standards because here's the problem. If it's the benefit of the doubt and you have a questionable situation, I'm all for saying, okay, based on his history, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But there still should be standards that everyone are held to. And one of the things that you don't do in the NFL is you don't berate the officials, right? Did Bill Belichick himself get in trouble for doing that last year? But Tom Brady?
Aaron Rodgers did the same thing, though, last year during the Seattle game.
It's wrong. It's something that you don't do.
You don't know what the man said to the official. He just looked excited.
You don't know what he said, but you don't you know whatever he said. He wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, but I mean, Now, if he said something, you know, cussed him out or something like that, I would hold him to the same standard as everybody else. I don't think it's right to cuss out a referee.
You can be ugly without using cuss words.
Yeah, you sure can.
And don't know what he said, but we can tell by his history off the field, he doesn't talk crazy. This is not somebody who just pops off at the mouth.
You got to think, though, that
was a penalty. It's all about on the field.
We all agree that was a penalty, though. So, I mean, to be fair, doesn't he have a right to be frustrated with the officials?
Oh, he has a right to be frustrated. All I'm saying is, there's a lot of, well, we don't know that, though, Saint. What you believe is not relevant. What we saw was Brady talking.
You're saying he was in district.
What I said was, we saw him very animated with the official walking off the field. And if there are quarterbacks in the league that if that's Jay Cutler, if that's Phillip Rivers, there are quarterbacks in the league that if they do, hey, I got a quarterback that's well-behaved, I believe Tony Romo would be given the same benefit of the doubt because he doesn't do that. But there are quarterbacks in the league that you would say, there would be a fine or there would be some. And I'm saying I don't care how many Super Bowls you won. I don't care your previous behavior. There's a standard in the NFL of behavior that everyone should be held to, period. And if you step over that line, I don't care what your pedigree is, there should be a problem. And no one asked that question either. And don't you think Tom Brady knows that? Don't you think he knows that?
With what you're saying, though, T, I agree with that. I think there is a line to be crossed that anybody can cross. If they cross that line, then they need to be punished. I don't believe that he can cross that line.
And I'm saying the line for Brady is not the same as for everybody else. That's what I'm saying.
Do you think he crossed the line, though, T?
Without knowing exactly what he said, it's hard to say, but no one's asking that question. That's the second question that nobody's asking. And that's my problem, is it? No one's bringing it up. No one, it's a non-issue. Why? Because it's the golden boy, Tom Brady.
No, there's a few analysts that brought it up. They bring it up every time he does something. If he yells at his teammates or something, they always bring up the Tom Brady thing. Why does he get a pass on this? I think people start to nitpick at him because of who he is.
I don't think it's nitpicking at all. I think it's relevant. All right, move on. Give K-Star his moment. The Broncos beat the Chiefs 27-17. I'll let K-Star go first. You know, what did you learn from this game that you didn't know going into this game?
Learned that when the Chiefs get behind, they're not very effective in playing in catch-up mode. We learned that when the Chiefs play a quarterback of that elite level of Peyton Manning, or just an offense that good, points could be had on them. The Chiefs play a good defense that game, but, I mean, again, like, you know, I believe they're down 10-0 pretty quickly in the first quarter. And you saw it, the Chiefs had to pass the ball 45 times, which isn't their game. And it's not their game because they're not, I mean, again, all year we've seen against substandard offenses, for the most part. I mean, there's been a few exceptions and they've pretty much shut most of them down, but I wasn't surprised for the Broncos to put 28 on the board. I figured they would put it like 28-34 or something along those lines. The Chiefs defense is still pretty good, but the Broncos are going to get theirs. And that the Chiefs offense would struggle to keep up with them, which is what we saw. And to me, I mean, it's kind of why I felt Denver was the best team in the league going into the game, just because with Denver, I feel like they could beat you in multiple ways, whereas Kansas City, they have to, you know, keep you within arm's reach to really win these games. They haven't been in a situation where they were down like that before, you know, and we kind of saw what happened. They struggled. So it kind of just reinforced my assertion a week ago that Denver was the best team in the league. I felt like they proved it. Obviously, they have round two next week. So we'll learn a little bit more there, but they finally played a real team.
Train?
I don't think the Kansas City defense played all that well, personally. I think they failed to do the one thing that they've been able to do for the past 10 weeks or so, or 9 weeks or so, and that was get to the quarterback. And everyone knows when you're playing the four horsemen, the main thing you got to do is get to the quarterback. And they failed to do that for the entirety of the game. They didn't get a hand on Peyton Manning. And that's what that team is built around. It's built around his defense. His defense makes plays, put his offense in good position, and the offense doesn't have to always go the length of the field in order to score. Like I said, that team's their formula for winning is different than Denver's formula for winning. So just in my personal opinion for Kansas City, when they do play Denver again, it's pretty simple from a defensive standpoint. Just get to Peyton Manning, and you would change the outcome of that game. It would be a different game if you can just get to Peyton Manning and do what you need to do defensively. And they didn't get that done.
Yeah, I mean, let me get my chance in here. couple of things. First of all, no, the Chiefs defense didn't touch Peyton Manning, and that to me was the deal breaker in this game. When I picked the Chiefs, I really thought Peyton Manning on two bad ankles, he'd have to move around a lot, you know, high ankle sprains and all of that. And the Chiefs, you know, top defense in the NFL and, you know, able to get pressure on you with the front four. I thought that was going to be the game difference, and they weren't able to get at him. You know, God bless the offensive line, whatever blocking scheme they initiated to keep Kansas City defense, it worked. So I give them credit. I give them a lot of credit. The other thing early in the game, I don't know if you guys remember, Kansas City had a lot of drops early in the game. I mean, they got down 10-0, and part of that problem was they kept dropping the ball. I was sitting there like, holy cow. I mean, Alex Smith was making some pretty good passes, and they were just dropping balls. So, and I'm not saying that the Chiefs got robbed or anything. They didn't do enough to win the game, and Broncos won. But you know, my biggest thing with this game is, and I struggled when I did my rankings because this game didn't excite me. Like, they tried. ESPN, maybe, hey, tell me if I'm wrong, but ESPN tried all the hype and 9-0 versus 8-1 and, you know, second time, you know, all this big hype about this game and the number one offense and the number one defense and, you know, all of this. And I'm watching the game, and I'm just kind of like, you know, it was okay game. It was nothing like watching the 49ers and the Saints or the Panthers and the Patriots, like exciting games where you're sitting at the edge of your seat and like don't know what's going to happen. And this game was just dry to me. I didn't get that, and I'm not sure why, but I was bored watching the game. It wasn't an exciting game to me. And, you know, I don't know what to make of that, but I wasn't moved by this game. Neither team's performance, not even the great Peyton Manning, moved me in this game. He was okay. You know, he did enough to win the game, but I wasn't excited. This did not look to me like the two best teams in the NFL. When I watch what the Saints are able to do, when I watch what the Seahawks are able to do, even what the Panthers were able to do, going blow for blow with the Patriots, this just did not look like 2 9-1 teams to me. I was not impressed. I expected a game that I would get out of my chair for, like Dallas against Denver, like last night's game, like several of the games we've seen this year. The Saints against the Patriots, you know, we've seen some really good football this year. And this game just, I don't know, guys, I didn't feel it. So I don't know what that means, but there's a meaning there. There's something there, guys. I don't know what it is, but there's something there. I don't know.
Let me clear the air. I think what it is the Chiefs are fool's gold. The first time they played a really good team, and they couldn't, like, from the start, they had no control of this game. Not once did they have control of the game, and we kind of saw what happened.
If they were fool's goal, why didn't they get blown
away?
They
kind of did. I mean, they were down
27-17 is blown out.
Or 27-10 at the beginning of the fourth quarter. I mean, they were pretty much getting blown out. They were down 17.
27-17.
I'm looking at it now. 27-10 with 7 minutes left, and the Chiefs got a late touchdown to make it 27-17. I mean,
okay,
it wasn't really a competitive game.
All right, but this is a team that averages over 40 points a game. So, I mean,
I think the Broncos protected Peyton by running the ball. I mean, they ran the ball. It looks like They ran the ball 36 times, the Broncos did. So it looks like they were just trying to protect Peyton. I mean, they had a lead and going into the fourth quarter. That was pretty big. You know, Peyton has gone two bad ankles. He got the ball out quick.
I can't sit here and listen to you. Yeah, it's the Chiefs lost, but, you know, they're 9-1, dude. I mean, let's give them some respect here. They're 9-1, and they didn't make their schedule. They play who was on their schedule, and they're 9-1. You know, none of our teams are 9-1, you know. So, I mean, don't sit here and, you know, act like they don't deserve to be considered one of the better teams in the NFL. I mean, 9-1 is 9-1, and they lost by 10 points. And, you know, the Broncos have steamrolled most teams this year, and they could not steamroll this team. I mean, they lost by 10. That was the final score. And dare I say, you know, when they play again in 2 weeks, I don't know. I think the Chiefs go back and make some adjustments. And I think I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think they split. And nothing that Peyton Manning and that offense did made me feel like the Chiefs walked away scared. You know, this wasn't the Saints against the Cowboys. You know, this was, 10-point game. So let's give the Chiefs some credit here for, going into Denver and not getting embarrassed. You know, and I think when they go to Kansas City, which is not an easy place to play, I think they're going to make some adjustments, and I think it's going to be a better game. You know, I think Kansas City. And in the middle of that, you know, the Broncos got to go play the Patriots, which it's going to be a mad Patriots team in New England.
So that'll be a great game. This game reminded me of like a BCS game where there's a team that like was undefeated all year in a smaller conference, and then they played a team like in the SEC and they got beaten, so they got handled and they never were in control at all, and just one of those games where you were kind of disappointed. I just felt like it was the same type of vibe there as well.
Right. All right. We'll get to the rankings later because Dr. Train got some splaining to do, but we'll get to that later. Let's talk about the Saints win. And, we certainly there have been some very, you know, if people had opinions about the game last night, there's been a lot of opinions about the, I think it's pretty clear to say that play changed the game. The personal foul called against Drew Brees. And, Train, first of all, you know, what do you think? Do you think that was the correct call, or do you think that the 49ers got robbed on that call?
I'd like to use Ray Lewis as my spokesperson for this particular question. That's what I like to do, because no one explained it better than he did Monday Night Count.
We are going to talk about Ray Lewis's comments, but I'd like to know what you think first. What do you think? Lewis, what did you think?
Oh, even before I heard Ray Lewis and I constantly saw the hit, I was just like, damn. That definitely was not a blow to the head. It was across his chest. He hit him across his chest. And you can't help that the man is going to slide down because he's going to the ground. He's 6 feet. Get his across his chest, he's going down, he's going to slide to the ground. NFL just can't accept that it was a violent hit.
That's
the only reason it got flagged, because it was a violent hit.
Okay. K-Star, did you think it was a penalty?
I did. I mean, I'm sorry, I did not. Like, I've seen Big Ben get hit like that so many times throughout his career. I mean, he got hit high. Drew Brees is what, 6 foot, barely? He's small. He got folded like a chair. Like, it wasn't a blow to the head. He hit him across the upper chest, close to his neck. But again, I mean, we've seen this hit time and time again. Like, I see it almost every week with my quarterback. And because he's not frail and small like Drew Brees, they call a penalty. And it was terrible. They screwed me out of my upset special of Niners over Saints. I'm very upset about that.
I will be honest. When it happened, I thought it was a penalty. I thought that he was dangerously close to the neck and head area. And, it's been, you know, the quarterback is being protected. We know this. And when I saw it happen, I thought it was a penalty. I will say, and, you know, we'll talk about Ray Lewis' comments in a minute, but I will say that Ray Lewis' comments did move me. But when I saw it happen, I did think it was a penalty. I thought, you know, and I mean, some of the people talked about the fact that if Drew Brees was 6'4 or 6'5 or 6'6 like Peyton Manning, it's a legal hit. Well, he's not, though. We can't play the if game. Drew Brees is 6 feet tall. So his neck is where his neck is. I mean, I'm sorry that you know, you and football doesn't work that way. You know, he's the height that he is, and when you hit him at 6 feet tall, you know, you've got to know who you're hitting. You've got to know, you know, as a defensive player, you've got to know. And you're not playing Peyton Manning, who's 6'6", you know, or Tom Brady, who's 6'4", you know, 6'5", whatever he is. You're playing a guy who's 6 feet tall. And so I honestly, when it happened, thought it was a penalty. Now, when they showed it again in slow motion, yeah, I saw what happened. He hit him in the check and in the chest, and Breeze's neck kind of slid down. And I would think that had it been reviewed, had it been challenged, if it was challengeable, which I don't think it was, had it been reviewed, I think they would have reversed it. I think they would have came back and said, oh, we looked at it again on tape. It's a clean hit. But in live speed, yeah, I thought it was a penalty. You know, and the fact that Breeze's head went down and his helmet didn't come off, but the chin strap came up. I mean, all that stuff happened, and that, to me, in real time now, was a penalty. That's what it looked like. So I can't blame the refs. I just think that there should have been a system, because apparently it wasn't challengeable or reviewable, and I think that's the mistake. I think that's the error. If they had reviewed it, I think they would have pulled the flag. So whatever the rule that's in place that doesn't allow those to be challenged or reviewed, I think an off season they need to look at that, because that very likely did count. I think that was a third down play, and that very likely did cost the 49ers the game. So I think it was a good call in real time. I do think it should have been reviewable, and I think they would have reversed it. Now Train is chomping at the bit, so I'm going to let Train talk about the great Ray Lewis and ESPN's latest commentator, and you know his comments, and you know, and how it moved you to hear Ray Lewis.
Dude, what's good about watching him on Monday Night Countdown is the fact that I hear all the other analysts, and they all say the same thing. And they all are stuck from a offensive-minded point of view. They can't even see the other side of the ball. And then it gets to Ray Lewis, and finally the scale has balance. And he does not hold back. And it makes you appreciate the fact that he played the game. He understands from a player's point of view what's happening on that field, and he's not far from it. And even though the other two guys who they have up there, Steve Young and
Trent Dilfer,
even though they played the game, sometimes they talk like they didn't.
Yeah.
And Ray Lewis continues, maybe it's because he's fresh, but he continues to talk like he's played the game, and he continues to bring that other point of view, which is mainly from the defensive side of the ball, saying, hey, this is unfair to the defense because.
Right.
Yeah, I love it.
I enjoyed his comments, but I must say, while I appreciate his passion, I do. I appreciate him being an advocate for the players because he was one for 17 years. I do think he went overboard with saying, I'm going to pay half of this guy's fine. I mean, to me, what is your point? I get it, but at the same time, call a guy and say, I support you. And, you know, I just think as an analyst, that's too much. I get it.
Why?
Because you're an analyst. Your job is to analyze.
Okay, so he's analyzing, and he understands how it hurts a defense. I don't think anything was wrong with him saying that. Matter of fact, that got my internal applause.
That's not your role, though. You work for ESPN. You're an analyst. Your job isn't to sit there and say, I am now against the referees to the point where I'm coming out of my pocket and paying somebody's fine or half of somebody's fine. You can do it.
Okay, and there's nothing in his role that says he can't do or say that. So
you can
do it. I don't see how his role all of a sudden got defined that he can't come out of his pocket and help out a player when he sees that a player did something that was – clearly legal on the field, within the play and the confines of the rules of the game.
So
and basically
time,
gets
so Wait. Every time he doesn't agree with a call, do you think he's going to come out of his pockets and pay somebody?
I don't think he's going to do it every time, but he was very passionate about this time, and I understand why. So I don't see anything wrong with it.
Well, if you let me finish, I will tell you what's wrong with it. It's not his role. You are not on TV to pay people's fines. If you want to pay the fine, call the guy up, text the guy, get in touch with his agent off the air and say, I got your back on this one. I agree with you, and I'm going to pay the fine. You are now working for ESPN. This is your job to analyze. You can agree. You can disagree. Absolutely. But you are not an advocate. You are not player personnel. You're not a player's rep. Those days are over. You are now sitting on the sidelines, and now you have a different role. And if you do it for this guy, then what's to say the next guy, why won't you do it for him? And then the next guy after that. It's going to happen again, Train. This is not the first time that someone might get fined for a play that we could say he shouldn't get fined for. So why not do it every time? He's not going to, so then don't do it. Either, you're in a position where you should not be doing that unless you're going to – why this guy and why not the next guy? Because it's going to happen. So is he going to do it then? At some point, he's not going to be – takes out his American Express card and says, I'll pay it. I get the passion. I get it. I love the passion. I just don't think at that moment in time it was appropriate. I think that you stop short of that. I mean, even if you watch, Steve Young was like getting a little like, okay, Ray, we got to hip you to how we do things here. I mean, he didn't say that, but he was looking at him like, all right, Ray, I mean, we get it, but, you know, you're in a little bit of a different position here. If it's that important to you, call a guy off the air. Call his agent. Call it, you know, you got contacts in the NFL, and then do it silently off the air. If it's about the guy.
I get your point. Same time, I guess agree to disagree. I just don't see anything wrong with it. Just at this present moment, I just don't.
Yeah, this will come up again when the next hit comes out that we think someone shouldn't get fined for. Where's Ray Lewis? You gonna pay this guy's hat? That's the problem in this. That's the problem. So why this guy and not the next guy? Because he's not gonna be paying half of every single fine. So, K-Star?
No, I was just saying, like, it was pretty theatrical. I mean, it almost kind of, like, almost damaged his point because, like, I understand that he was upset, like you were saying, but it got to the point where it just seemed like he was just, I don't know, just being overly dramatic. Like, it was an awful play, in my opinion, that the Niners got screwed out of the win. But, I mean, like you said, you're not going to pay everyone's fine. If anything, if I'm Jim Terrace and I get a fine next time, I would make a punchline. I would be like, all right, well, Ray Lewis is going to pay my fine anyway, so it's all good. Like, I don't know. But, I mean, I agreed with his point, with the whole play itself, but I just thought it was kind of theatrical with how he
let me just say, I don't think it was theatrical. I think Ray meant it. I think his passion was sincere. I think it was real. I do believe that. I don't believe it was theatrical. I just think he got caught up in the moment and he's not understanding the ramifications of that statement. And down the road, he may wish he never made that statement publicly because it's going to put him in a very uncomfortable position as more players get fined, not stepping up, pulling out his American Express card. Or maybe he will, and maybe I'll come back and be like, you know what, Train? Dude done paid half of five fines this year. Okay. You know, and maybe, I mean, Ray made a lot of money. Maybe he will, and maybe if that happens and it becomes a thing where Ray Lewis becomes an advocate for the players and does this repeatedly, then I'll retract my statement, and I'll be like, you know what? I got no problem with what he's doing because he's being consistent across the board. But my concern is where does this go from here? If you had stopped short of that, then I think your credibility, because I think Ray Lewis is an incredibly credible person. But I think when you talk about coming out of your own pockets for a player, I just think that's you're getting into some very interesting waters there. That's all I'm saying. Okay. While I have a moment. Just want to say hi to my honey Lena. I know you're out there listening. How you doing, honey? Just saying hi. The omniscient one, Commissioner T, saying hi. Okay, moving right along. I know you guys love when I do that, right? You guys, you make sure. You
I know the tone of your voice changes a little bit.
Shout out. Well, K Star. I know you got a little honey bunny in your life. You want to give a little shout out, bro? You ain't.
I do. I mean, I'll try to follow up your shout out with mine. Honey Bunny, if you're listening. But no, you're not, because you're at work right now. But if you're listening, if you say I just want you to know that, baby, I love you.
Aw. And Dr. Train, I mean, we haven't talked in a while, but I don't know. Last I knew, there was someone special floating around. Is that not the case? Or I thought there was. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I do have a special someone, and I do appreciate her support of me, her support of the show. She always listens in, and she always gives me feedback, and I love her for it.
Well, see that guy? You see? So see what I'm doing? See, what I'm doing is showing I'm being the leader that I try to be with my brothers and showing y'all a little bit about how to show someone that you care about a little appreciation, you know, that they support our endeavor. Maybe your girl's working, K-Star, that's cool. But just, you know what, though? You go home or whenever you see her again and you say, oh, by the way, baby, I did a shout-out for you on the show. You know, and the shout out is at 1 hour and 4 minutes. So you can like get the podcast and just fast forward right to it and play it for her. All I got to say, K-Star, if you do that, you're going to have a good night. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Going to keep the show G-rated. moving right along. Let's see. I want to switch. I know I sent you guys a list, but I'm jumping around a little bit. I really want to talk about this one because this one's been burning my butt. Let's talk, and I know K-Star wants to talk about it too, because the Lions and the Steelers. And Train, before you get K-Star, man. Here we go.
Okay, I'm done.
Madden Voice fans, what you're hearing is, it should be issue. You know what? Let's do it like this. Let's do it like this. All right, that's enough. Madden Voice fans.
Fighting Bumblebee, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you're welcome, by the way.
Well, what we have here is, we have a Steelers fan, and a Bears fan. The Steelers had been pronounced dead and maybe aren't quite dead yet. And the Lions have swept the Bears. And so the Bears really need the Lions to lose if they're going to win this division. It might be a wild card coming out of that division. It's very possible, but it's still too early to tell. But really, you want to win that division. And right now, the Bears are in trouble with the Lions because the Lions have swept them, so they really need the Lions to lose. So you have two people that are very happy. They're in cahoots with each other. You know, y'all must have worked out a handshake deal or something. Didn't tell Commissioner T, I don't like this. I don't like no deals made behind my back. Okay, I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate that at all. So the Lions blew the game, gave the game to the Steelers. Gave them the game. And first of all, Train, can we just talk about this field goal, this fake field goal, please?
Yes, we can.
Train, I'm gonna let, you know what? I got a lot to say, but you know what? I'm going to give you the floor on this one. Go ahead. Talk about that fake field goal, please.
Because I am not on ESPN. I don't have any special role. I'm not on NFL Network. I can say it. Schwartz is an idiot. He doesn't deserve to be a head coach. But you don't make a decision like that when your team is up and you sit there and blatantly support it, if it was a great decision, that was not a good decision. Get the points. A fake field goal? Seriously? You might as well have just went for it altogether. People will respect that more than they will respect you going for a fake field goal and you up four and then you could be up seven. It's a lot easier to defend a touchdown defend a team when they need seven versus when they need seven and they're going to win versus seven and tying. Yeah, definitely he's the head of the snake. And Detroit will go as far as their head coach goes, and we already see how far he goes.
Can I just say that I have said Okay, I'm not mad. I'm vindicated because I have said Schwartz is not a good head coach. Okay, I've said it. And people think, well, you know, Detroit beat Dallas, and you're just sour grapes because Dallas lost. No, this is why. Not only did he make a mistake, he did not have the cojones, the testicular fortitude to after the game to say, you know what, in hindsight, that was not the best call. I should have just went and took the points. He defended it. Oh, you're trying to win a football game, and, you make these calls. And What? They had an 80, I looked this up, an 87% chance of winning that game if they just kicked the field goal. 87%. I'm speechless. But K-Star, we've got to ask you. We already know that it was a bad call. We already know it was a horrible call, okay? But you, we got to call you out now because you, show.
Before we get to that part, can I just respond to this real quick? Before we get to the other question that was about to ask. So, first of all, that was an awful play call. I was very surprised and happy about it, needless to say. But I think that's actually what's more telling and the even worse coaching job is the fact that they had over 350 yards on this in the first half, right? The second half, they had like 65 total yards. More backing to your point about, the coaching staff of Detroit just being befuddled. I mean, not only was that just an awful play call, but being outcoached completely in the second half and just being shut down.
Well, and just to support your statement before we ask about the Steelers, they were on pace to have more yards. Calvin Johnson was on pace to have more yards than he did against Dallas, and the team was on pace to have more yards than they did against Dallas. That's how bad the first half was. And then partially because, let's give Pittsburgh its due, okay, Pittsburgh has something to do with the Lions not doing very well in the second half. Pittsburgh was, Train and I are very consistent. When you see a team not play good offense, the defense probably has something to do with it. So let's give Pittsburgh his credit. But let's also say that, really? I'm going to do what I got to say. I tell you, and I stick by it, coaching and quarterback play. And you had a game where the superior coach and the superior quarterback ended up winning out because this arrogant son of a gun decided that he was going to do a gadget play to try to win the game. When you're already up 4 and you could make it a 7-point game, and no, you want to go, I get it, you want to go for the kill. And you had the first down, and then the guy fumbles the ball. Ridiculous. But it makes me feel even worse that we lost to this team. Really? We lost to this man. But anyway, you pronounced the Steelers dead, K-Star. And now they are actually literally one game out. Let's not put them in the playoffs just yet. There are 9 teams battling for 1 wild card spot, but the Steelers are one of those teams. Are you ready now off of this victory to say that you put your Steelers in the ground a little too early?
Go ahead. We'll wait.
I mean, because I'm only a game back, and everyone's really bad in the AFC. The 60 is terrible, and now it's the Jets, and the Steelers destroyed the Jets. And don't get me wrong, we're definitely not good by any means, but we might be good enough to get that 6th playoff seed in the AFC, so.
Let me help you out. You play the Browns twice. You go and play the Ravens, who you've already beaten once. You play the Dolphins, you never know which team's going to show up. You do play the Bengals, that's going to be a tough one, but that is in Pittsburgh. And you play the Packers, and by then, they're saying Aaron Rodgers will be back. I told you my opinion. Collarbone injury, I don't think we see Aaron Rodgers again this year. My opinion, just based on I went through this with Tony Romo, and I think Aaron Rodgers is done for the year. I don't think he'll be back, but that's just my personal opinion. Literally, I'm looking at this, and could you guys win all 6? Sure. Safely, I see possibly splitting with the Browns, beating the Ravens, beating the Dolphins, beating the Packers. I mean, you guys might, if you play like you've played the last 2 weeks, moving forward, yes, your team may very well be in the thick of the wild card race coming down the stretch. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we'll finish 8-8. To be honest with you, I could see us going 4-2 down that stretch. I mean, we're really inconsistent though. Like, yeah, we won these past two games, but we're still really bad defensively. I mean, against the run, the Lions that kept running the ball on us with Joyce Bell, who thankfully got hurt, it would have been a much better position. But saying that, like, look, here's the thing: if we make the playoffs, we're not going to do anything in there. But I mean, hey, you never know. We've won the 60 before,
well,
but I'm simply saying yes. We technically have a chance to make the playoffs. We do. My expectations are really low, but it'll be great to see.
Yeah, fans, this is not First Take where we start talking about who's going to go to the Super Bowl and who's going to win in the playoffs. Okay, we don't do that because there's still six. We're coming down a home stretch. There's still 6 weeks left in the season, and anything can happen. So we're not going to talk about who's what. Yeah, it doesn't matter right now. I think the question is, do the Steelers have a chance? And I think K-Star has to retract his, the Steelers a dead statement.
Yeah, we're not dead yet. Basically, the rest of the AFC is so bad, we're not dead yet.
9-7 is the 6th seed spot for the AFC.
Yeah?
I said first.
Yeah, and I had this whole thing that I had this whole thing that I did up on my iPad looking at all 9 teams, and I did this very detailed analysis, and then I accidentally deleted it, so, and I couldn't get it back, so it's gone. So we're not going to talk about the 9 teams, but just know there's 9 teams battling for that wild card spot, and the Steelers with 2 consecutive wins are right back in the mix.
Hold a tiebreaker over the Jets right now, who had the 6th seed at the season of the day. We do actually hold that tiebreaker over them, so, I mean, we definitely have a really good chance.
We've talked about the Steelers. Let's move on and talk about the Bears now. And the Bears, first of all, we must send our best to all of the families that were displaced, and there's just horrible tornadoes and. So many households affected. I mean, 59, I think, was the last number I heard, tornadoes in that area. And the game was postponed for 2 hours because of the weather. And it was just a very unfortunate, very unfortunate. And, if anybody within earshot, if you have a few extra dollars, you want to go and contribute to your local United Way or your local Red Cross. Those are two organizations that in times like this, are there on the ground and, reputable. And, if you got $25 or something and you can contribute, go ahead and do it. And let's help some of these victims out there in the Midwest. Just tragic what went on out there. Just tragic. But that aside, if we look at the game, the Bears, man, Train, talk to me about your Bears. And, first of all, you know what? Let's just jump right to the main topic, okay? It was a great win, but here's the topic now. Here's what you have to address, because I asked you this question last week, and you were sticking by Jay Cutler's side. Your backup done won another game, okay? And I'm starting to hear a little light rumbling now because of Cutler's injuries and, groin and ankle and, all of this. I mean, what's your thoughts now? Is there a quarterback issue in Chicago?
Short answer, nope. I'm happy. I'm ecstatic that McCown is doing what he needs to do for us to win. He's about to start another game, another week against the Rams, and he needs to get it done again. That is great. Quarterback controversy, no. I'm not even concerned about it. As soon as Jay Cutler's healthy, he's back in there. And we're just going to keep it moving. The whole point of making sure you have a backup is to have a quarterback that you're able to win with. And I just think it's crazy that there's got to be word of a quarterback controversy just because your backup is able to win games.
But that said, it's not just that he's able to win. He is playing at a pretty high level considering. And
mm-hmm.
How do you take out – okay, Cutler's your quarterback. He's your franchise. I get it. But Cutler also has had his problems as quarterback of those Chicago Bears. And
not this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No,
what I'm saying is if this guy wins another game and now he starts to get on a winning streak and Cutler already came back once, and I told you that he shouldn't have. And I was, you know, once again, being the omniscient one, I was proven right. Came back, got injured again, and now he's out.
Different injury, but go ahead.
Different injury, but we don't know that it wasn't because he, you know, the way the human body works is you're injured in one area and you got a favorite, and it could have weakened the other area, and now he goes and gets hurt. That's why coming back early is generally not a good idea, you know, because I've had groin pulls, and let me tell you, it affects your whole lower body. It is not just the groin area. It affects your whole lower body. I was a sprinter, and I'll tell you, it affects your whole lower body. But all I'm saying is it's a tough – you know, you got a Trestman first-year coach, and you got a guy that's got the hot hand and winning some games. Now your quarterback is ready. And if he comes in and stinks up the joint, man, oh, man. And that's all I'm saying. And that's all I'm saying. If Cutler comes back after McCown pulls 2-3 wins – and is able to, you know, play at a decent level, and then Cutler comes back the next game and then blows it, I think it's going to be very interesting. It could become very interesting in Chicago. That's all I'm
saying.
Well,
for one, I don't see that happening. For two, it has happened where McCown came in, won a game, Cutler's come back, and Cutler continued to play well until he got injured again.
One game, but this is more than one game.
I'm just saying, same scenario. McCown came in, he started, he played, we won. Cutler came back, he started, he played well, he got injured again. Okay? I feel that McCown's success, as good as he's playing, is also due to the system that Trestman and Aaron Cromer has put in for the Bears offense and the amount of targets we got this season versus any other season we've ever had as far as offensive weapons, both Alshon, Marshall, Bennett, Forte, the offensive line, 10 times better than it ever was under Lovey. Considering all of that, yes, not taking anything away from McCown, his decision-making is getting it done. He's not turning the ball over, which is one of the worst things your backup quarterback can do. But as far as controversy, no. Cutler is still the better quarterback. And once he's healthy, he's back in there. And we don't miss a beat.
Okay. We will see what happens.
I mean, I will say this. I mean, no one was screaming for Matt Flynn to take over Green Bay when he came in and threw 6 touchdowns on Detroit.
Well,
instead,
okay,
he ended up going
to
Larry Rogers.
Yeah,
money.
Yeah. Yeah, and
he might not even be the player. They may not even re-sign him.
Yeah, let's. That is a horrible comparison. It was a meaningless game. It was one game. It was meaningless, and it's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, I'm talking about a guy coming in and winning 2-3 games and playing at a high level. I'm not talking about a guy that can come in and win one game. You know, that's all I'm saying. And Jay Cutler.
It's a legitimate question.
I think your loyalty to Jay Cutler is admirable. I'd probably have the same loyalty if you were asking me about Tony Romo. But I think if McCown wins against the Rams, who is actually turning out to be playing some pretty good football lately, and you guys
they are,
and you can go into St. Louis and win that game, and now your next game is at the Vikings, who, you know, They have their moments too, division game. I'm saying, in my opinion, and you know your team better than I do, but I'm saying is you might have more of a controversy coming if your quarterback, your backup keeps playing at this level. You might have a controversy coming. It might not be as
tough. Winning
is hard, and when you have a backup that comes in and can win 2-3 games in a row,
that's playing really well.
Playing really well.
But is that not what you want your backup to do? That's what I don't understand. Is that not what you want your backup to do?
It is, but the way
it's
doing it,
contract
it's the same, he's doing it with the same game plan as Jay Cutler. He's winning.
And okay,
what
and Jay Cutler was doing it when he was in there.
That's
what I don't understand. Jay Cutler was doing it. We were winning when Jay Cutler was in there.
Yeah, but what is
Detroit?
Well, what has he done?
But it's a tough team. Saints is a tough team. Those are the teams we lost against.
Yeah, okay.
He gets injured against the Redskins. McCown comes in. He plays well. We still lose that game.
Hey, listen. You the same guy that when I told you the Giants
were playing well. He wasn't playing well against the Redskins before he got hurt, by the way. He was playing terrible.
Train, you the same guy. When I told you that the Giants ain't done, you said I was crazy. They're 0-6. They ain't coming back. And now look at them. So all I'm saying is we may be revisiting this topic in a couple of weeks, and you may have to come in and say, T, I don't agree with it, but damn it, if they ain't sitting there talking about a quarterback controversy in Chicago. And you may not agree with it, but that
they're and talk about it. They're already talking about it. I'm just not in agreement with it.
Oh, you don't have to. I'm not trying to make you agree with it. That's your decision. What I'm saying is if he keeps winning, it's going to be bigger and bigger, and it's going to be real. That's all I'm saying.
Of course it is. I mean, that's what they do in the NFL. Of course, they're going to screen controversy just because they're looking at Jay Cutler's complete past. But I'm considering Jay Cutler in this season because I've seen the Bears in the past. I've seen what he has to deal with. And I don't think even McCown could have did anything for us in the past under the offense and dealing with the offensive weapons that we had.
This year, the testament to Trestman and Coleman has brought in. But Trestman wasn't there, so he's not Lovie Smith.
And that's my whole point.
Right.
That's my whole point.
It's not a good one. Listen, what they saw from Jay Cutler was enough to get him a new contract before this season. He's in a contract year. So let's not act like this man is just a franchise quarterback when he's just playing for a contract for if he's even going to Chicago after this year. We don't even know that.
Bruh, we all are what I consider experts of our teams because we watch all of our teams' games. So I don't know if you truly watched Chicago before Trestman came in and watched Chicago before they brought in the weapons that they have this season and revamped the offensive line totally. But I don't care who we had at quarterback. It was ugly.
Train.
It doesn't matter right now.
Train. Trestman wasn't there. So it doesn't matter.
That's my whole point, T.
Let me finish what I'm saying. You're going into Lovie Smith's time and using that and saying Trestman is going to have loyalty to Cutler based on what he did under Lovie Smith. And I'm saying
he has loyalty. I'm not speaking on any loyalty to Cutler. I'm sitting. My point was, and I stated it originally, McCown has done well, but I think that's also a testament due to what we've done this year with personnel on the offense, from the line to the weapons to bringing in a head coach that's offensive-minded. That's why I also think McCown is doing well, which is the reason why Cutler's game got better this season versus what he's been able to do in the past. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's any loyal to Cutler, because if he thought Cutler was it, if he thought he was going to go with anything else, they would have written him a contract. But they need to gauge his value. They gauge what he's worth.
We saw this happen, not due to injury, but we saw this happen in San Francisco last year with a quarterback that has an incredible winning percentage, and the coach made a move that many people questioned, and it got him into the Super Bowl. So I'm saying is it's not impossible, because Lovie would never do it because Lovie has the loyalty to Cutler. I don't believe Trestman carries that same loyalty. And so if your backup keeps winning, I think you're going to have a quarterback controversy. If your backup
and if he doesn't win, value by the second anyway.
Well, if our head coach is a liar, then McCown will stay in there, because according to our head coach and everything he said and everything I've read, Cutler's going in as soon as he's back.
Okay. And based on right now, that probably is the truth. But if Cutler stays out, I mean, he's already ruled out, which was very quick.
Yeah, he's ruled out.
He was ruled out, yesterday, ruled out for the next game already. And you're back.
Yeah, he's ruled out.
So my point is that things change. Maybe right now it's a non-issue, but Remember I said it. That's all I'm saying. And I don't know. I just I
that's my only my only thing that I'm kind of just tripping on is that you guys that you're saying if we keep winning as if we're supposed to lose because we have a backup. And that
no, but
to me
train,
that's just
But train. You've watched a lot of football too. And you've seen
watched a lot of football.
Okay, and you've seen it over and over when a backup comes in and he has the high hand. I mean, look at what's going on in Philly with Foles. We've seen this time and time again. A backup comes in and has a hot hand, and the head coach is reluctant to take out the hot hand, no matter how good. I mean, unless it's one of the four horsemen, you're right. You're not going to replace Breeze or Rodgers or Brady or Manning. Okay, that's not going to happen. Short of that, I don't think there's any quarterback in this league. You know, we heard it in Pittsburgh. There were rumblings about should Ben Roethlisberger be benched, right? We heard that. Right, I don't think there's any quarterback outside of those four that isn't susceptible, particularly if the backup goes in and is winning some games. No, the backup's job is to win games, but we know that that's more difficult because they're not the guy. You know, they weren't taking first player reps during OTAs and off season and for the first however many weeks of the game. So they didn't have the preparation that the franchise quarterback had. So it's much harder to come in as the backup and win games. So the fact that he's doing that and playing well is impressive. And whether it's the system, the coach, whatever, he's still winning. And all I'm saying is we've seen this happen many times where, you know, despite what we may want as fans, the coach says, well, we're still winning. I don't know. You know, damn it, we're winning. So we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on it. But so let's go to my division, NFC East, and let me remind people, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525, the Madden Voice on Facebook, Twitter, at the Madden Voice, hashtag TMV or whatever you want to hashtag, send us, you can look up the Madden Voice and then you'll see Dr. Train and you'll see K-Star, a.k.a. Ollie Quick on there, and you can send us messages or whatever, but check us out. Let's move into the NFC.
A picture on that site, by the way.
Who?
I do, on our site.
Oh, you need an update?
We need to update my picture, man.
Why don't you send me one? Because, you know.
I'll send you one.
You send one, I'll update it. But, you know, I mean, that's real easy. You send me a picture. Right on left. Anyway, yeah. Guy over here is all happy because he lost weight. Now he want, you know, he want, you know, it is sexy. You know, I want to be sexy. You know,
man, even when I was a very big man, that picture was just not flattering at all. Anyway, so
yeah, but you know, I think that's the problem is. Hold on a second here. I think the problem is you want it because you've lost weight and you think that you know.
Yeah. I think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the look. The drive that goes wild. I've got the move. That really move them. I said chill. Up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. I'm not your boy.
You gonna sing that to your girl?
I'm just a sexy boy, man. I just want the world to know that. That is what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it is. I know it is. The unofficial K-Star theme song. All right, let's move over to the NFC East, my division. The Skins move down to 3-7. They lose to the Eagles. First question is, let me go to K-Star. You know, one website I read says the Eagles now have a 68% chance of winning the NFC East with their latest victory over the Skins. Nick Foles playing lights out. And do you honestly think now it's the Skins' division to lose at 6-5 and a half a game ahead of my very own Dallas Cowboys?
Not really. I mean, the Cowboys still control the destiny. Even if they, like, I mean, yeah, so Philadelphia technically is in the lead. That's because you just had a bye week, so now it's their turn for a bye week. But you guys still control your destiny. I still feel like the Cowboys are better because defensively the Eagles are just pretty bad. To me, nothing really much has changed. Philly's a good team. within that division, but I think the Cowboys are still the favorite because you guys control your own destiny and you guys already beat them. You're the one team that's made Nick Foles look awful so far this season. So until that changes, you know, it kind of still to me is for now the Dallas division for the taking.
Train, there's a lot of talk, you know, and I, you know, you came on the air and said the Giants were done. I said, don't count them out just yet. And I think I very accurately said that that game after the bye week for Dallas against New York could be a very pivotal game. And that's exactly where we're at, where the Giants with 4 in a row are at 4-6. Dallas is at 5-5. They play Sunday right down the road from me in the Meadowlands. What are your thoughts on the Giants' win streak? And in your opinion now, should the Giants be taken as a contender in that division?
I still feel like it's Dallas' division to lose. And yes, when you did say that this game would definitely be an important one to win, I also agree with you. It's like, yeah, Dallas just needed to take care of business and continue to win their division games, and the division to be theirs. So rightfully so, with the way you guys' records amount up, yes. It's a bigger game than I thought it was going to be. It's still an important game. I felt like Dallas had to win, but now it's more or less you guys lose this game. Now the Giants may be ahead of you in the division. So,
well, let me while I did predict this, let me also bring some clarity to the Giants' 4-game winning streak. The first game was against Josh Freeman. The second game was against Matt Barkley when Michael Vick got knocked out of the game. Matt Barkley was the one who played 3.5 quarters against the Giants. The third game was against Terrell Pryor. An okay quarterback, but certainly he's not Cam Newton. And this game was against Scott Tolzien, the one they just won. So I get it. They won 4 in a row. It's a weak NFC East division. I understand. And we've seen the Giants come back before and make a run. So I understand why people are hyping it. But I think, again, these guys on TV, they get ahead of themselves, and they want to bury teams too early, and they want to push teams too early. And, I look at the Giants' schedule coming up, okay? And, the Giants have to play the Cowboys, of course. And then they have to play the Redskins. That's a division game, so there's no telling what's going to happen there. And that's in Washington. They got to play the Redskins twice. They have to go to San Diego and play the Chargers. They have to go to Detroit and play the Lions. And they have to play the Seahawks at home. So, you know, when people say the Giants can win, and all, you know, one of the guys on New York said that this game is for the division. Whoever wins is going to go win the division. Whoever loses, all done. Beeson, I think, from the Giants said that. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you look at the standings? You know, we would have the same record if the Giants win, and I don't know who wins a tiebreaker because we split. And I think then you go to division record, and the Cowboys would be 3-1 in the division. So I think the Cowboys would still be ahead of the Giants. So, I mean, people just need to do their research a little bit before they start either anointing teams or burying teams. But I will say that this is a big game for Dallas. This is a huge game for Dallas. Because if the Giants lose, it really hurts them to go to 7 losses where the Redskins are. And you want to keep pace with the Eagles right now. The Eagles look good, and anyone saying that it's their division to lose, I can't argue that point. Nick Foles is playing pretty good. Defense is still not playing up to snuff, but the offense is looking, you know, pretty good. But I will agree with K-Star. The one team that made Nick Foles look poor this year was the Cowboys. So we'll see. But I want to transition a little bit into, if you guys don't mind, I'm going to take a minute and do my T-Bonics. Because JPP, that's Justin Pierre Paul, made a comment about there was going to be a lot of blood spilled against the Cowboys. And, you know, if I'm a Cowboy, if I'm on the team, on the coaching staff, in the front office, if I'm anywhere officially affiliated, where I wear the blue and silver and walk around with that star, I'm pissed off. I am pissed off. Because I'm going to tell you something. It is now time for somebody in Dallas to get angry. That's bulletin board material, okay? And I'm going to tell you what, if I'm the head coach, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to borrow it from my friend Mike Tomlin.
I just told the guys I appreciate the spirit and energy in which they fought. Please don't talk to me about more victories and things of that nature. That'd be disrespectful to those guys in the room. We didn't get the job done. We came up short. We accept responsibility for that. You know, we will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December because we have.
That's right there. Okay? If I'm in that locker room, I'm taking that statement and I'm posting it everywhere. And I'm saying, you hear what this guy is saying? Are you hearing what he's saying? There's going to be a lot of blood. Who the heck is he? First of all, you haven't had a great year. You had one great play. You had a good play there against the Packers and scored a touchdown. I'm not going to take that away from you. But where you been all year, dude? And where were you the first time you played Dallas when we won 36-31 and you were non-existent because you were fat and out of shape because you didn't come into training camp ready to play football? And you have the audacity, the nerve, the unmitigated gall to talk crap when you're 4-6 and in third place in the division? And you have the nerve to talk crap because you beat an Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay team and you're bragging? What? Yo, I'm telling you now, she would be saying, Commissioner, breathe. I'm going to breathe. Because it irritated me that just off of that win, 4-6, that all of a sudden you're going to start running your mouth. And if I'm sitting over here in Bristol, Connecticut, in my basement, in my man cave, pissed off, somebody in Dallas better be mad. Somebody in Dallas better say, we're going to make him eat that. You ain't got to come on TV and say anything. I don't want to hear. No, that's fine. Keep it to yourself. I don't even want to know that you said anything. But in practice, I'm calling out my Cowboys right now. I understand DeMarcus Ware is going to play. Jason Hatcher is going to play. Miles Austin is going to play. I understand that we're getting starters back in this game. Wilcox plays in the secondary is going to play. He's been out. We are getting players back this game. Thank God for the bye week. But somebody on that team better get mad. I don't want to hear Jason Garrett, and I watched his interview, and, we've got to improve in all phases. Same interview every time. Same interview every time. We've got to improve in all areas of the game. That's offense, defense, and special teams. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear we need to go out there and kick these Giants' ass. And maybe, if you don't want to tell me, y'all better be saying it in the locker room. Y'all better be fired up. And whoever your leader is, this is where we miss Jay Ratliff. I'm going to tell you, this is where I can tell you now, Jay Ratliff, if he was playing for the Cowboys still, oh, he would take that personal. And he would be the guy doing the pregame speech, and he would be holding the quote in his hand and saying, is this how we're going to go down, or are we going to go out there and show them what it's like to be the Dallas Cowboys? Well, somebody else better step up, and this is the game to prove it right here. Are you the Dallas Cowboys, or are you, I ain't even going to say it, are you that other team that people talk about? Somebody better step up, because I'm mad as hell right now. That's all I got to say about that. I got to breathe, guys.
Woo! Breathe.
I got to breathe. I'm sorry.
Might give him a hug.
Hey, by the way, that play JPP did make against the Packers was freaking awesome. That was really impressive. That play was incredible.
I am not taking anything away from that play at all. You guys know I give credit where credit is due, and he's done that against Dallas too. He did that against Tony Romo once.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So that play is a very athletic. It's a great play, and hey, you know, you have flashes of greatness as a defensive end, stand up or hands on the ground defensive, and I'm okay with that, but you know. If anybody on Dallas has said anything like this, it's plastered everywhere. I hope that Dallas heard it and take note. That's all I'm saying. I want to see fire. I want to see 60 minutes of football. I want to see heads rolling. I want to see these guys playing like your season depends on it. You go up in here. You come up down the street from me in New Jersey, right here in MetLife Stadium, and you go in there on a mission. And I want to see some butts kicked. That's all I'm saying. All right. Since we're on a roll with individual segments, and I'm curious about Dr. Train's philosophy, I kind of liked it. So I'm going to just go ahead and turn it over to Dr. Train. And this is Dr. Train's philosophy.
This is always the best part of the show. I just wanted to let y'all know that personally. This week, I hear all this things about protecting the quarterback. We need to do something with the rules. We need to make sure we keep them healthy. Aaron Rodgers is out. Whole NFL is sad. Listen, if you really want to protect the quarterbacks, if teams really want to protect their quarterback, stop dumping so much money into them and dump some money into your offensive line. Dump some money into your offensive line so they can do better run blocking, better pass blocking, so that your quarterback can stay up and stay healthy. But for the NFL to consider revisiting the rules to make changes, changes to what? You can't hit them low. You can't touch the helmet. Your target area gets smaller the closer you get to them because they ball up like a little baby crying in the night. I mean, what other rule can you create to keep them from getting hurt? This is a physical game. Other than making it flag football, I don't see any other way to keep them from getting hit. So my solution and what any GM solution should be is make sure you have good offensive linemen. Matter of fact, 10 of them, because they get injured too. Make sure your team has a good running game, good offense, because a running game, a very good running game, is the quarterback's best friend. Hey, Big Ben will tell you that. It's the reason why he won his first Super Bowl, along with a good defense. The fact that they're looking to revisit the rules to make some kind of change is just ridiculous.
Train, I have to comment.
This is football.
Hey, Train. I have to comment. I know you're not dumb, but let me just say this before I lose it, because I'm getting old and memory starts to go. You've been there with Cutler being out. K-Star's been there with Big Ben being out. I've been there with Tony being out, right? Did either y'all or both of y'all see the movie Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a scene in Jerry Maguire when Tom Cruise loses Cushman, right? He loses Cushman, the quarterback. He lost him to the old agency. And he's talking to Cuba Gooding Jr. about it. And Cuba, who's his only guy now, that's all he's got as a sports agent, he looks at him and he says, "Well, boo fucking who?" Okay? And that's how I feel. And excuse my French people. I do promote this as a family show, but it's 9:45, so we can let loose a little bit. It's after 9 o'clock. But that's how I feel. And I'm not trying to steal your thunder train. I'm supporting you. You know what? It's part of the game. It happens. I don't care that Aaron Rodgers got hurt and he's out. I don't care because we've all had to go through it, you know? And like Train said earlier, then go get a good backup. Shame on you for not having a good backup. Shame on you for, you know, not having the right offensive line to protect your quarterback. We've all had to live this. You're not going to change the rules because this guy got hurt. That's just part of the game. We've all been there. So what? Who cares? Let me not get on another rampage. But I'm agreeing with you, Train. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
And that's I mean, dude, you just validate my point. That's exactly my point. I don't really care. And I just, you know, what I'm looking at it, and I'm so glad that I started paying more attention to, like, where they pump the money, you know, during the off season, who they're paying, how much money they're giving out these quarterbacks. Dude, next week I probably will come with a top five list of players of stealing money, because Matt Flynn is on there, Flacco is on there. I mean, yeah, you won a Super Bowl, along with the help of Anquan Boldin and some other players, but you're getting all this money, and now y'all can't even have a consistent offense. Ray Rice can't even run the ball consistently. You know, they pumping all the money into the quarterback, but you're not pumping any money into the people that need to protect him. But you want to change the rules. of the game to protect them, to make it even harder for the defense to play defense against the quarterback, because it's a quote-unquote quarterback league. And to sit here and listen to the analysts, Steve Young and Trent Dilfer, all of them, well, it's a quarterback league, blah, blah. Now I'm tired of hearing that. Really? This is football. I'm with Ray Lewis. They are grown men. You don't want them to get hit, don't put them on the field.
And, you know, the thing about it is, I would think that a Tom Brady, a Drew Brees, a Peyton Manning, a Tony Romo, a Ben Roethlisberger, a Jay Cutler. I don't know about Aaron Rodgers. He's always struck me as kind of a prima donna. But a lot of these top quarterbacks, Brett Favre in his day, a lot of these guys understand the risk of playing the game. You know, Cutler is known to be a risk taker and a gunslinger. So is Big Ben. So is Tony Romo. You know, I didn't hear Tom Brady when he was out for the year. I didn't hear him complain one bit. And yet they changed the rule of where you can hit because of his injury. They changed the rule, but I didn't hear him complain. You know, Peyton Manning. He just came out. What did he say after that last game? Not this game, the game before when he was hurt. Well, yeah, I'm just hurt, but he didn't complain. He didn't say anything about the hit being too low or anything. Goes, oh, you know, I'm hurt, and that's it. So these guys ain't complaining, yet the NFL wants to put these guys on a pedestal because they make all the money, and they want to have rules in place that where they can pretty much sit back there and not get touched. Well, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. I'm sorry. I could not agree with you more. Could not agree with you more. So, all right.
Post on all that. I mean, again, I'm a Steelers fan. I mean, if anything, I just wish we'd get away to take Ben Roethlisberger. So, agreed.
So, on the note of segments, I don't know if K-Star, did you have a sound off for us?
Well, I do. And it's, okay. It's kind of a sound off of myself, really. A few weeks ago, on this very show, I had said to Steelers Nation that we were done and dead and not, you know, give ourselves false hope if we win a couple games. But, yeah, we're only a game back in this division. So makes me think of, I think it was last year, maybe the year before, where I think it might have been you, who you were saying that, you know, you shouldn't actually count your team out until they're, like, mathematically out of the playoff picture.
Yes.
I should have paid more attention during that T-Bonch because here I am, again, just cutting baffled, really, because I can't believe we're only a game out of the playoffs in the AFC.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. We're only a game out of the playoffs of the AFC, and here I am 3 weeks ago kind of burying my team. Now, let me just say that we're definitely in no way, shape, or form the team we used to be, that, you know, Super Bowl contending team. But, I mean, we are a game out of the playoffs, and last I checked, we still have Ben Roethlisberger, who, by the way, had a great game against Detroit, throwing four touchdowns.
Yes, he did. He played. Now, that's a great game.
Yeah.
Just when we talk about him versus Cam, and I say Cam had a good game, Ben had a great game. And maybe you can see the difference, at least from where I'm sitting, between a good game and a great game. Ben played a great game. But anyway, go ahead.
Right, and he did. And you know, and we still have Coach Tomlin, who also was quoted earlier. And by the way, I love that clip with the Rays, you know, the bring hell to everyone December line. And like, the thing is, you can't count out a team, even though we are definitely struggling and we're not who we were. You can't count out the heart of a champion. I mean, the Steelers still have championship players that were on our roster. I mean, our coach, our quarterback, you know, our safety and Troy Polamalu. So the Steelers aren't going to give up. I never thought they would. I thought we would just, you know, just lay down and die. But the fact they're only one game out of the playoffs, it kind of goes to show you, and I this was my fault. I can't believe I did this. You kind of have to let it play out more before you pronounce your team dead because, again, you have situations where, guess what, my Steelers have a pretty good chance of making the playoffs only being game out, and that 16 is the Jets, and the Steelers kind of destroy the Jets earlier this season. They have a tiebreaker. We might actually make the playoffs, and if we do, I'm very excited about it, but that's why. you never count your team out until they're mathematically out of the picture. So I've learned my lesson. Steelers Nation, we are not dead yet. We're breathing. We're not dead. We're barely breathing. But again, we still got a chance.
Yeah, you might be on life support. You might be on life support, but I'm glad that once again I'm able to teach another lesson. And again, this is the reason why all of you out there should listen to the Madden voice instead of these pundits, because I can't tell you how many times I have to hear that a team is out and then they have to come back around and say, well, maybe not. But no, maybe they are. Well, maybe they aren't. Well, they're done. They're not going to come back. The hole's too big. And then 2 weeks later, they done won two games. Well, you know what? Let it play out. Okay. And until the team is, I mean, you know, now they're saying the Skins are all done at 3-7. Well, I mean, my opinion, it's going to be tough for the Skins, but at 3-7, I mean, last year they were 3-6 and they came back and won the division. So in the NFC East at 3-7, they're two games out. So are they done yet? They're two games out in the loss column right now. Okay. Are they done yet? No. Okay. And that's why you have to be careful pronouncing a team dead, and particularly a team like the Steelers that have a winning pedigree. You know, they have a two-time Super Bowl champion in Ben Roethlisberger, a one-time Super Bowl head coach in Mike Tomlin. You've got Troy Polamalu and some of the other players on that team, you know, that are proud and are going to play hard. So, you know, you have to be careful when you pronounce a team dead. You have to, because the NFL, you know, I'm going to share this stat with you guys. And I actually saw it on it was displayed for this on the Steelers game. 100 out of 147 games this year had been within 7 points in the fourth quarter. First time ever in NFL history. So that shows how easy it is. I mean, the Cowboys have two games they lost by a point. They win both of those games, they're 7-3, and we're having a different conversation about the Cowboys in the power rankings, and, you know, we're looking at them as a team that could, you know, it's a totally different conversation. If they won those two games, they lost by a point. That's how close it is in the NFL today. It really is that close. So you can't give up on your team until, you know, until they say, oh, they're out. And then you say, okay, maybe next year.
I will say, though, people feel my point is mainly just the fact that the Steelers aren't as quality, like, talent-wise, just what we were a few years ago. But, I mean, even still saying that, I shouldn't have directly or, you know, completely counted this out. Just because, again, I mean, the fact that we can still make the playoffs, and obviously the heart's still there, just the talent isn't what it was. So, I mean, it's definitely a new era as far as team-wise, but, hey, I mean, we have some viable pieces on the team, clearly, and heart of change. Then again,
playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Right.
I couldn't help it. It just seemed to be appropriate at that time. That's all I'm saying.
I just hope this isn't all too good to be true. Hee hee.
That I'm hoping that too. I'm hoping that too. All right. Let's talk power rankings. NFL power rankings. And I will first give the TMV official Week 11 power rankings, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Train a question. And I'm gonna sit back, because I have a feeling that Mr. K-Star is gonna take exception to Dr. Train, and it's going to be a very interesting conversation. TMV NFL Power Rankings, number five, first time on the rankings this year, the Carolina Panthers. Number four, the New Orleans Saints. Number three, the no longer undefeated Kansas City Chiefs, dropping from first to third. Number two, the 10-1, the only team in the NFL with 10 wins, Seattle Seahawks. And number one, back at number one, the Peyton Manning-led Denver Broncos at 9-1. Now, I mentioned how the Seahawks are at 10-1, and they're the only team in the NFL at 10-1. And when we sent in our rankings, Dr. Train actually had the Seahawks at 10-1 as his number one team over the Broncos. And the Chiefs at number three. So, K-Star, do you want to ask Train? I mean, do you take exception to him having the Seahawks number one?
Yes. Yeah, for a couple reasons. But first, I want to attack his character. Because, you see, a week ago, Train had even conceded that if, for me, it was win, but if the Denver Broncos beat the Kansas City Chiefs, they will undoubtedly be the best team in the league, or, you know, should be proclaimed as such. But then he submits this list that has the Seahawks first, the Broncos second, and it just doesn't make any sense, considering all along he's been saying the Chiefs are the NFL's best team. There's only one game that separated the Broncos from the Chiefs, and last I checked, the Broncos just kind of handle business with the Chiefs. If they somehow fall, or they still somehow aren't number one within your rankings, then the Seahawks just beat the Vikings, which is cool and all, but what's going on? Character-wise, you're a liar. And secondly, it doesn't make any sense. So explain yourself. Defend your character and defend your stance, please.
Oh, man. You just called me a liar on
Yeah.
Okay. The first simple answer is the Seahawks has the best record in the NFL right now at 10-1. Yep. I don't care if they haven't had their bye week. It's still 10-1. Still 10 wins. No one else in the league has 10 wins. Second, after watching the game against the Broncos and the Chiefs, and considering taking out of T's textbook of how he looks at his power rankings, considering all the games played up to this point, just looking at how the Seahawks continue to win despite what their weaknesses may be at this point of the season, 11 weeks in, I was impressed enough to put them number one. Yep, the Broncos beat who I had at number one because they were undefeated, and I was thoroughly disappointed. Mind you, it was only 1 point, but the Broncos scored their lowest point total of the entire season in one game at 27. Their next highest is 28 against the Chargers. So I wasn't all that impressed with them. And I'm just more impressed with what Seattle has done up to this point versus the other two teams that also have one loss.
Okay, so now you need to defend your character because you said last week that when the Chiefs lose to the Broncos, if they lose to the Broncos, that the Broncos would then be your number one team.
Well, unfortunately, I don't remember last week, and two on that Tekken transcript.
It's tough for a liar, man. Keep track of all the liars.
this is my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, let me just say this. The only reason I completely agree with Dr. Train, I think the Seahawks right now are the best team in the NFL. However, unlike Dr. Train, I did stick to my word. And I did say whoever won that game would be, you know, obviously if the Chiefs won, they'd be 10-0, and there'd be no dispute. They'd have their signature win, and they would be considered the best team hands down. But I did say that this game was for the best team. I did say that I didn't think it was right, although I understand where Dr. Train is coming from, because you're kind of saying what I'm saying. This game did not impress me. I didn't walk away looking at teams and feeling, it's what I said earlier. I didn't feel like I was watching the two best teams in the NFL. I didn't. I did not get that feeling watching this game on any level. So I get where Dr. Train is coming from, but at the same time, I did say it. I did say whoever wins this game would be number one. And so I stuck to my word and gave the Broncos number one. And, you know, I did give the Chiefs number two simply because, you know, that's kind of what I said I was going to do. But I cannot disagree, in all honesty, with the Seahawks being number one. But I do think it's interesting that NFL.com agrees with our overall rankings of the Broncos being number one, the Seahawks being number two, and the Chiefs being number three. That is where we averaged out if you look at all three of our individual rankings and average.
Guess who agrees with my ranking?
Who agrees with your ranking?
ESPN.
Yeah, who cares about ESPN? Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, really? Who at ESPN? Because you mean, is that the summary of all 15 anchors that they, you know, is that like? Because really, I mean, that's really how they do it. You know, all 15 get together and you know, ESPN. All right. But hey, you guys handled that well. See, I can't be calm like that. If K-Star called me a liar, man, I woo boy. Oh, you handled that well, Train. I tell you what, that was good. That was good.
Oh, you're confident in your story. Good.
Yeah, I'm always confident. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, let's not get it twisted. I'm always confident, but I
get
it. Get
twisted like Train's words were last week to this week.
Get that last little jab in there.
Did he say that? What did he say? I missed it.
He said, don't get it twisted like Train's words were last week.
Oh, boy. There you go. Well, pull the transcript. Right. And if I said it, oh, well.
All right. Let's do our picks of the week, and then we'll get out of here. Remind everybody 347-838-9525, Twitter, Facebook, the Madden Voice, and we will be back on the air next Tuesday, of course. But football season's winding down, everybody. You know, we're already at going into week 12 out of 17. Dr. Train actually selected all the same games that I selected. Mainly, every one of these games has a playoff relevance. So, Train, I meant to ask you, are you still tracking these, or did you kind of lose that somewhere weeks ago?
I'm still tracking them. I don't have a point total, but the week that K-Star went to
the basketball game?
Yeah, we didn't get. It was 1 week. I think it was that one. I didn't get here so that week. So what I'm going to have to do is go on to the Yahoo site that we got for our pick'em, and I'm going to have to take it off of there.
All right.
Because I can't trust his word.
No, you can't trust his word.
Well, yeah, I didn't put it on Yahoo either. So.
Yeah, because he will lie. That's all I'm saying. All right.
It's on there.
All right. So picks, games for the week, picks. First game, the Chargers at the Chiefs. K-Star.
I like the Chiefs to win this game. It's at Arrowhead. The Chargers are struggling. Their offense lately has been less potent than it's been earlier in the season. They haven't set up a lot of field goals. The Chiefs are coming off their first loss of the season, but they're still good at home. And I think it's going to be a close game, and it's a division rivalry game. But Jamal Charles, I think that defense makes a play, capitalizes on Phillip Rivers, one Phillip Rivers in space. And Phillip Rivers will throw the ball up to you if there's pressure on the feet. And we know the Chiefs can apply a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. So I like the Chiefs over the Chargers.
All right. Dr. Train.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs, and I think they definitely get back on track. And, they are at home. But this will no way be an easy game for them. This will definitely be another test of their defense going against a good quarterback in Phillip Rivers, because they do have offense and they can move the ball. So this will test the Chiefs' defense, and once again, we'll see where they are, especially in their division. Considering they have to play the Chargers twice, and this is their first of two meetings. So what I think the Chiefs' defense will step it up, and, they'll get it back on track as far as the offense is concerned.
I really want to pick the Chargers, because this is the kind of game where the Chargers actually end up doing very well historically. This is the kind of game where you look at it and you say, the Chiefs should win. They're at home. They're coming off a loss. They're going to rebound, and they're going to win. And the Chargers at 4-6 going to 4-7 really put themselves in a hole as far as trying to get that wild card spot. And historically, the Chargers, not unlike my very own Dallas Cowboys, tend to, just when you're ready to write them off, tend to come up with a win and keep it interesting. But what I can't dismiss is the fact that they're playing in Kansas City, and that's not an easy place to play. So, if for that reason only, I'm going to go ahead with the Chiefs. If it was in San Diego, I would pick the Chargers, hands down. I just think that they would pull this game out, and I will not at all be surprised if San Diego somehow comes up with a win in this game. I was not impressed with Kansas City's defense against Peyton Manning. I was not impressed at all. Just I expected a lot more from them. So we'll see if they can recover this weekend against the Chargers. The surging six games in a row, Carolina Panthers travel to face the uncertain. We did not talk Martin and Incognito. I'm kind of tired of that story, so we're not going to talk about it tonight. There is a there's some more stuff going on, so by next week there may be a lot more to discuss. So we'll just go ahead and let that story take care of itself. We'll be back on that story next week if you guys are interested in our thoughts on it. But in the meantime, Panthers going to play Miami, the up and down Miami Dolphins. Train will start with you.
I'm going to have to go with the Panthers. Yep, the refs missed the call, but still, they played pretty impressively against one of the four horsemen. And, you know, Miami managed to get it together to pull off a win last week, but, you know, this at seven losses would be bad for anyone sitting at 4-6, and that includes Miami. But I think the Panthers go down there and their defense continue to do what it has done, and they pull out a win.
K-Star?
It's the Panthers. You had three offensive linemen missing for the Miami Dolphins starting unit going against the best front seven in the NFL, arguably. And the Panthers are on a roll. I don't see that, you know, them being derailed at Miami, so I like Carolina to win this ballgame.
Panthers, Dolphins are done. End of discussion. K-Star's very own Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to Cleveland to play the Browns. K-Star, why will the Steelers beat the Browns?
The Browns can't listen. Our weakness defensively is we can't stop the run. The great thing about playing the Browns right now is they can't run the ball, so that's not anything we really need to worry about. They have Jason Campbell. He's not really a guy in which the Steelers very good pass defense. I think it's top five in the NFL, maybe even second last I checked. Is playing against a struggling Campbell. Listen, they turned the ball over. The Browns did like three or four times against Cincinnati. You know, and the Steelers, as a matter of fact, we're playing really well. And we got Le'Veon Bell's on a roll. Big Ben is playing, has a hot hand right now. And I think it'll be a close game just because it's a divisional kind of game and the Browns' defense is still legitimate. But I just, listen, Big Ben over Jason Campbell to me is the difference here, and I like Big Ben and the Steelers.
Train?
Steelers, definitely. Know why? Mike Tomlin. Done.
Steelers. Jason Campbell. He's not very good. I've watched him quite a while when he was at Washington. Didn't think he was the answer there. He's not the answer. He's not very good. And the Steelers are starting to gain a little bit of confidence. That win against Detroit. I mean, I'll tell you, if you guys lay an egg, I won't say you're done if you lay an egg this game, but that win against Detroit should propel you guys into some good wins. Now you guys should start to feel pretty good about yourselves, and Cleveland is ripe for the picking. Jason Campbell's horrible. So, Steelers.
And I know how bad Jason Campbell is.
Yeah, he's horrible. Yeah, terrible. Yeah, didn't you guys have him for a minute over there in Chicago?
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. That was another case where, you know, Matt, fans of the Madden Voice, there's so many times that we can go back and Commissioner T educated his colleagues. I told Dr. Train about Jason Campbell, and in the beginning he was, he's a good backup, and then later on he came back and said, yeah, the dude sucks. And I told K-Star about Todd Haley, who still is horrible, and he finally came around, and, you know, I said, yeah, I mean, there's just some times where you guys just got to trust Commissioner T, the omniscient one. The Jets, who have, if I have it correctly, have won and lost alternate games all year to be at 5-5, if I have it right. And they are playing the Ravens, who just had a tough loss in Chicago. K-Star, Jets at the Ravens. The Darrell Revis Jets at the Ravens.
I like the Ravens. Geno Smith turned the ball over. The Ravens still play really good defense, especially at home. They still get some really good pressure off the edge from Terrell Suggs. in Elvis Dumervil. It's going to be a low-scoring, sloppy game just because the Ravens' offense can't really score and the Jets' offense is still the Jets' offense. But I like the Ravens to pull it off.
Train?
I don't know how the Jets are winning, but I cannot pick a team led by Geno Smith right now. That's just not football-wise. It's not football IQ, so I'm going to have to go with the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, when I said Geno Smith was their future, considering, you know, they had on their roster at some point Tim Tebow, Mark Sanchez, who's done nothing, a couple other no-name quarterbacks, it wasn't hard to say that that Geno Smith was their future. But that said, he's had some games, including that last game, where I just had to scratch my head and say, really? You know, but then they go in and they beat the Saints. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, this guy is up and down. He's not consistent. I think with the right quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, he could turn into a decent quarterback. But, man, that last game was painful. And, you know, the Ravens realize that they're not out of it and they need to get some wins. So, at home, I'm going to go with the Ravens. I don't believe in the Jets, even though they beat the Saints. I still don't believe in them, so I'm going to go ahead and go with the Ravens. The Indianapolis Colts, who just 2 weeks ago were mollywopped by the St. Louis Rams at the surprising Arizona Cardinals. I'll actually take this one first. This is going to be a good game. This is not an easy pick because Arizona at home could be kind of tough, and their offense is starting to surge a little bit. But I think the Colts are just the better team, and so I'm going to go with the Colts. I think this is going to be a very good game, but I'm going to go ahead with the Colts. Quarterback and coaching, and I think in both respects the Colts have a better quarterback and a better head coach. So I'm going with the Colts. Train.
Man, just simply based on the quarterbacks alone, I'm going to have to pick the Colts. Carson Palmer had a great game last week, but it was against the Jaguars. And all season long, that guy has struggled to be consistent against any team that has half of a defense. Not even a good defense, just half of a defense. He struggles to get the ball downfield and even to get the ball to Larry Fitzgerald. I said, no, because my fantasy team struggles from it. So, therefore, I had to go with the Colts.
K-Star.
I am going with the upset here. I'm going with Arizona. Arizona has a really good front seven. Very tough secondary. The Colts have a very bad offensive line. I mean, they're still Reggie Wayne-less. Their offense is still good because Andrew Luck is a terrific football player and quarterback, but they play a lot of man coverage, and while Carson Palmer hasn't been very good, they have really small cornerbacks, and I just see Floyd and Fitzgerald making the plays, and that defense just taking the life of the Colts off of the line, and therefore their offense enough to give Arizona the upset win. And that would actually make them 7-4, I believe, the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
Surprising Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. All right. My very own Dallas Cowboys going up against the surging 4-game-in-a-row New York Giants. I will say to the Giants, you're not playing a backup quarterback. You're playing a pretty good quarterback in Tony Romo. I will take this game. And, and here's my message to the Dallas Cowboys.
Hello. You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out.
God, I love that quote. Listen, I kind of covered it earlier in my T-Bonics, but briefly, the Cowboys just coming off their bye week. They're relatively healthy. Sean Lee will still, I can tell you now, will not be playing, and neither will Justin Dunbar, the backup middle linebacker. So they do have to account for that. But I don't want to see Sean Lee back before the Bears game. Let's get that hamstring completely healed. But that said, I don't think you need Sean Lee. You are the better team, Dallas. You are the better team. I'm going to simply tell you how you win this game. You put pressure on Manning, and you take Victor Cruz out of the game. Whatever you need to do, you take him out of the game, and you put pressure on Manning. You've had some games where you've been pretty good against the run. You've had some where you haven't. I mean, the Saints game, you were good against the run until that late drive. But, you know, Saints didn't really need to run because all they did was throw it on you. But you're getting back some very key defensive players, and you are the better team, and it is time you show it. And, you know, the thing about Eli Manning is just be patient. He's going to give you a couple of chances. You know, he's going to miss a read. He's going to either be an interception or a fumble or something. But he's going to give you a couple of chances. And when he does, because he will, you got to capitalize on him. Get those points and get that pressure on him. And the offense, just do what you do. Miles Austin is back. I thought, you know, a few weeks ago I said, Miles Austin and lost his job to Terrence Williams. No, that's not true. He hasn't. I mean, we'll see what happens next year, but we need Miles Austin. He's experienced. He can get off the line. He doesn't get jammed. Terrence Williams they've been playing man coverage on him. He can't get off the line. That's why the last couple weeks he hasn't done much. Miles can get off the line, and he's a deep threat, and he's healthy now, finally. You know, knock on wood. So, offense, do what you did against Denver. Defense, do what you did against Philly, and go in there and win this game. Okay, you're the better team. Win this game. Cowboys. Train.
Sound like a plea, but I'll take it.
All right.
Did you pick the Cowboys?
He picked the Cowboys.
Yeah. I am going with the Cowboys. I picked the Cowboys win the division. I'm sticking to that.
Okay. I'm going with the Giants. Typically, these two teams split. They had a very competitive Week 1 game in which Dallas pulled off the victory, obviously, since you started 0-6. But a 4-game win streak. Andre Brown established as their future back in New York. Sean Lee being out. I see the Giants being able to run the ball. And, you know, against the cover two, when you're missing your middle linebacker, who's athletic as Sean Lee. I don't know. I just see the Giants being able to capitalize enough. And because of the divisional game, because they play each other so well. And it's at New York, I think the Giants make it a great game, or a close game out in New York.
You know, what really sucks is, you know, I come on here and I give this man credit, I give his team credit, and I even pick his team to win. He gonna come back and stab me in the back and pick the damn Giants, man. K-Star, some bullshit, man. You know, I get it, man. You know what I'm saying? We supposed to be, you know, we all kumbaya and all that stuff. I can't get no I'm going with the Giants because these teams typically split, man. I ain't got no patience for K-Star. All right, last game, big game, arguably the biggest game of the weekend. Broncos coming off a win, arguably the best team in the NFL. Patriots coming off a loss, classic in the making, another Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. Man, oh, man, this is going to be, this is what football is all about. And you know what, I'm going to just go ahead and take this one first because I'm getting excited. It's only Tuesday night, and I'm getting excited thinking about this game. I think it's going to be a heck of a game. You know, I think that two guys want to beat each other because they are, you know, this is Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, right, when Michael get, you know what I mean? This is Michael Magic. This is you have the two premier players going up head-to-head. And they want to win in the worst way. Because when you look back on this rivalry 20, 30, 40 years from now, that's what people are going to talk about. These two parallel careers. And the reason that Peyton Manning only won one Super Bowl is he had to go through New England. And, you know, I mean, this is the football history right here. And this is huge, okay? And so, you know, I compare this to back in the Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach days. Bradshaw won 4, Staubach won 2, and they faced each other twice in the Super Bowl, and Staubach won them both. Bradshaw won them both. That's and Staubach is always considered one of the all-time great quarterbacks, except he couldn't beat Terry Bradshaw. And I think it's going, you know, you're looking at a very similar situation with Peyton Manning, one of the best all-time quarterbacks in the regular season, but Tom Brady gets it done in the postseason. This is football right here. This is what gets us excited, this game right here. That said, coaching and quarterbacks. Quarterback is a wash. 2 of the 4 horsemen going head-to-head, stealing trains line. I love that line, 4 horsemen. 2 of them going head-to-head. Quarterback is a wash. So now I got to look at head coach. Well, Fox is out. Del Rio, who is not a bad coach, but he's not John Fox, wasn't all that impressive in Jacksonville. We do know that Peyton Manning coaches the offense, but as far as game management goes and down the stretch, I got to go with Bill Belichick and their home. This is it, Patriots. Patriots going to win this game against the Broncos. K-Star.
I am picking the Broncos. This is Wes Welker's return to New England. I think he's going to have a really big game. You know, there's a lot of bad blood there. And it's more than just Wes Welker versus the Patriots, obviously, but just a key thing to remember here, I think Wes Welker has a big game. And, you know, the thing about Denver is they can beat you in so many different ways. New England's offense is starting to finally come together. However, I mean, you know, Peyton Manning is in the midst of the best quarterback season in NFL history, trying to eclipse Tom Brady's touchdown record and season in which he had in 07. And just the fact that the Broncos can run, pass, deep threats with Demaryius, you know, they have Dexter Walker. Obviously, we know the personnel, but the defense is getting a lot better, playing a lot of strong man coverage. Von Miller off that edge. I like Denver in the upset. I like Denver to win on the road just because they can beat you in so many different ways. And I really do believe that Wes Welker has a huge game here.
Dr. Train.
You know, if any team is bitter in this game, it's definitely going to be the New England Patriots. They have a bad taste in their mouth from a loss against the Panthers. Denver's coming off of a win, and I simply like the Patriots at home. Had this been playoffs and they're in Mile High Stadium, go with Denver all day. But this is regular season. The Patriots just lost a close game, and they are at home. Yeah, Tom Brady is definitely going to be up for this one. Patriots.
And let me just say this, K-Star. You said that Peyton Manning is trying to break Tom Brady's record. I would completely disagree with that statement. Peyton Manning wants to go win a Super Bowl. On his way to trying to win a Super Bowl, he's putting up some incredible numbers, but he could give two craps about Tom Brady's record.
I'm sorry. I must have misspoke. I didn't mean that he was actually trying to break his record, just that he's in the midst of and is on pace to break his record just by the fact of how well he's playing. I don't think he is just looking at Brady's record, you know, thinking.
I don't think he cares. I think it's irrelevant. You know, I think, you know, these guys, when they start throwing 45, 40, 50 touchdowns or whatever it is, and Brees throwing for 5,400, these guys are trying to win games. You know, that's why, you know, really, I mean, that's why if you have one of these 4 quarterbacks, I mean, you're never out of any game. And, you know, we all want – I mean, Ben's got 2 Super Bowls. He's great. You know, Cutler has all the talent in the world but has yet to produce. Romo has all the talent in the world but yet to produce. I'd say of the 3, probably K-Star is the only one who really you know, your quarterback has won 2 Super Bowls without necessarily being one of the 4 horsemen. But I'll tell you, I would love, and I think Train would agree, man, we would love our quarterbacks to escalate to that level, you know, where they're just great. You know, it's just, you know, whatever happens, you know what your quarterback's going to do more times than not. And neither one of us are there yet. But we get to watch these two guys go back and forth, head to head, and man, oh man, I mean, You can't ask for a better game than this. I can't wait. I mean, I want to see my Cowboy game. Don't get me wrong, but I'm dying to see this game, I'll tell you. All right. That said, Dr. Train, any final thoughts?
Man, you know what, T? When I meet you in person, man, I might sucker punch you because of your little shout out. I ain't got chewed up over text messages, so because mine wasn't so endearing as yours were. So
that's awesome.
This is all your fault, dude. Okay.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Wait. Pay attention. Here we go.
Wow. Oh.
That was for Mrs. Dr. Train out there. But you know what, Train, we're gonna give you the floor, and use that silver tongue, bro. Do your thing. Go ahead.
Wow, clearly I had a different last words in it until about, I don't know, 30 minutes ago. But so that she understands, yes, my shout out goes to Ms. Monica Duhart. You know, she is very dear to me. You know, met her while we both were volunteering, so I met her in a good space. I mean, we get along pretty good, in my opinion. Spent a ton of time together, even watched the games together, and trust me, she'll be a guru by the end of this season. And I just want to let her know I greatly appreciate her in my life right now and moving forward. Love her to death, and thank you for being there for me. Now, can we get on to some football for next week?
No. You are the love doctor. You know, you're not just Dr. Train, you are the love Dr. Train.
Oh, man. This is funny. Well, you know, listen, Mrs. Dr. Train, let me just defend your man just for a second, okay? I know for a fact that Train thinks the world of you. I know this for a fact. We talk offline. I know he thinks the world of you. You know, I have just met this young lady, and we're getting to know each other, and it's just been fabulous. And I just want her to know that she's fabulous. Okay, so I started this. You know, and so there's, you know, I started this because I just want her to know I think the world of her, and she's just fabulous, you know. And don't for a second think that you have to take a back seat in Dr. Train's heart, because in Dr. Train's heart, you are front seat. I can tell you that just because I've had conversations with him, and I know. So don't let the, you know, I'm not doing this to make anybody feel bad. I want everybody to feel love. I want everybody to feel happy. And feel good. You know what I'm saying? That's what this is about. It's about feeling good. All right? That's all I'm saying. We want everybody.
By the way, she said thanks for the song. She really loved the song you just played.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's how we roll here on the Madden Voice. You know, that's how we roll here on the Madden Voice. That's what we do. Okay. Well, that's some good last words from you, Dr. Train. K-Star, I mean...
I mean, dare I say,
you've got the floor.
Well, let me just say, although he lied to me and lied to the rest of America, Mrs. Train, I don't think you need to worry about that. Train is a good guy, and I don't think he'll lie to you like he did to us. He meant everything he said. I could tell when he's genuine, and now when he has his poker face up from when he talks about these NFL-type dealings, when he tells me, you know, something like, you know, the Broncos will be number one team in my power rankings. K-Star, wink, wink. He said beat the Chiefs, you know. And, you know, he wouldn't do that to you. I just know that to be true. So that was very genuine and very loving. And while we're all just being so very loving, to the Mrs. K-Star lady who's still at work, listen, I'm excited for you to come home. We have some wine while we're on the romantic tip on this show. So I'm looking forward to seeing you. And I'm really looking forward to and hoping to see both Train and T in the EASL playoffs, because I've clinched my spot in the EASL playoffs, and I'm wondering where you two guys are at. Will you guys be joining me to the on the dance floor in the dance playoffs? Yeah. Yeah, will you guys be there with me?
I'll be there.
I'm going to be there. I'm 7-4. I have no doubt.
Ooh. All right.
I'll be there. I haven't missed since I won the whole thing. I haven't missed the playoffs. I'll be in the playoffs. Right. Don't even worry about it. I'll be there.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, I may have to go get me some of that Stephen A. Smith Love Doctor music now. You know, I may have to go get some of that and put it on here. You know. So listen, it's been a great show. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. I hope you were entertained and edutained. I hope we educated you and entertained you at the same time. It is me, Commissioner T, here with Dr. Train and K-Star. And, you know, at the end of the day, we always say the same thing. You know, listen to the Madden voice, because all feuds are settled on the field. And I think that slogan that we've had for a number of years, each week it's even more true and more true, is ultimately all the games are settled on the field. And guys, don't forget it. And the last thing I'll say before we sign off is use the eye test. I wanted to say this earlier. Use the eye test. Allow your own eyes to determine your position when you're talking football. It's okay to listen to pundits and analysts. It's okay to listen to us fans and the Madden voice. But what do your eyes tell you? Because I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10, your eyes will not lie to you. So listen to your eyes. They'll tell you the truth. On that note, for Dr. Train, for K-Star, for all the lady friends of us out there listening and giving us some love and support, we appreciate you. For all the fans, we appreciate you. We'll be back here next Tuesday night. Check out the Madden voice, because, again, all feuds are settled on the field. Good night, everybody.